Welcome to Manga Cubed, episode 96, your one-stop for manga news and commentary for the week of May 12th, 2014. I am your host, Derek, and I am joined by Mo.
Oh, hello, everyone. The sun is very bright today.
It's not over here. It's actually gotten kind of overcast and rainy over here, which is actually a good thing, because...
We were supposed to have rain, so you took our rain we were supposed to have last Tuesday, huh?
Well, don't blame us. Blame Colorado. They take our rain, so we have to take your rain.
Dang, Colorado, stop taking people's rain. You already have marijuana.
Yeah.
It's legalized now.
Yeah, but... Yeah, so we're back after a week off for Golden Week, and...
How was your week?
It was pretty good. I kind of get a little bit of a feeling what it must feel like to be a manga artist, and to finally have a week off after, you know, months of working hard, even though...
We don't draw, though. We just talk.
Well, yes, but still, I'm just saying, I sort of understand what it's like,
yeah.
You know, in a... To a lesser degree. I mean, if I were working as hard as a manga artist, I'd probably understand it a lot more. But since I don't work as hard as a manga artist, but with the same consistency, except for the editing process, I can kind of get an idea what it would be like. I just have to increase it a little bit in my head.
Yeah, so this has been some interesting... Let's see. Last week was... Felt pretty fast, actually. I can't remember what happened yesterday, even. And I don't drink, so I can't even recall what happened yesterday. Oh, yeah, yesterday was Mother's Day. Forgot.
Yeah, Mother's Day, you fool. Let's
see. I hope everyone said Happy Mother's Day to their mother, or their mother-in-law, their mother, foster mother, their mother figure. Not their dad, because it's Mother's Day, not Father's Day. Father's Day is next month. Get that in your head, people.
Yes, indeed.
Anyways,
yep,
there's something for one to say, but,
Yeah.
Well, I forgot what it was.
Oh, no worries. Let's go ahead and do the news, shall we?
Yes, that's what we're here for.
Okay, starting with the, Japanese comic rankings for April 20th to May 4th. Starting with 10th place, Attack on Titan, No Regrets, Volume 1. What's this?
Oh, no. Whoa, 9th place, Seven of the End, Volume 5.
Oh, really?
Japanese comic ranking here.
Cool. 8th place, Horimiya, Volume 5.
Oh, that's serious. 7th place, Gintama, Volume 54.
Alright. 6th place, putting that up right now, Nisekoi, Volume 12.
5th place, One Punch Man, Volume 6.
4th place, Bleach, Volume 63.
3rd place, Assassination Classroom, Volume 9.
2nd place, Kuroko's Basketball, Volume 27.
And 1st place, Naruto, Volume 69.
What?
Ah, 69.
Uh-huh. That's silly. But, yeah. Okay. Well, fair enough. All right. What else do we have? We have now the New York Times Manga Bestseller List, April 27th to May 3rd.
This is as of most recent. Last week were, well... That was last week. I'm not going to go over last week. It's
well,
going
yeah.
current right now.
Yeah, lazy.
Not lazy. You want to add two extra ranking?
Not particularly.
News?
I don't think anyone actually cares, but
okay.
All right. 10th place, we have Attack on Titan Volume 4.
9th place, Sword Art Online, Eingrad.
8th place, Devils and Realist Volume 1.
7th place, Attack on Titan Volume 2.
6th place, Attack on Titan Volume 10.
5th place, Fairy Tail Volume 37. With that very... Well, there's a Natsu face there.
Yeah. let's see. 4th place, Attack on Titan Volume 1.
3rd place, Wolf Children, Ame and Yuki.
2nd place, Naruto Volume 65.
1st place, Attack on Titan Volume 12. Wait, it came out already?
Oh, yeah. It's out. I haven't gotten
Hopefully.
It yet, but...
Wait, what's the most recent?
12.
In Japan.
Oh, I don't know.
Wow.
Should be... Around that, not sure. Yeah, anyway, let's go ahead and talk about the North American anime and manga releases for the last 2 weeks, starting with April 27th to May 3rd. We have Amazing Nuts DVD.
It's not exactly what you think it is.
Good.
Okay. Arakawa Under the Bridge, Season 2 DVD and Blu-ray.
Mm-hmm. Cat Planet Cuties DVD and Blu-ray Connection.
What the heck is...
Ah. What else do we have?
Kudiko Detective Inaba, DVD and Blu-ray Complete Collection. Mm. Is it Kudiko or Kudiko?
I think it's Kudiko.
Knew it.
Yep.
And I thought as much.
Yep, Jinro the Wolf Brigade DVD. Huh, interesting.
Mazinger Z, TV series, DVD set one. Mm.
Shangri-La, DVD complete series.
And I heard that's a good DVD, series.
Wait a minute. It's showing that twice. I think that's a typo. Anyway, yeah. Next one.
Unico double feature DVD.
Mm. Nice. All right. For the manga releases, we have a live graphic novel.
Attack on Titan Volume 12.
Card Fight Vanguard Volume 1 and Volume 1 Special Edition.
Dinner at the Shimoedas.
Uh-huh. crap. Dog X Cat Volume 4.
Oh, I have the worst one. Fetishism Virgin.
Son of a Goddess of the Glass.
I have the worst one, trust me.
Goddess of the Glass Volume 2. Good lord. So much porn.
What is Dog X anyway? Dog Cat, whatever.
I'm looking up to see what the heck that's all about.
Oh, it's a okay. Yes. Higurashi, When They Cry. Festival Accompanying Arc Volume 4. Yeah, I definitely cried because of the last four of the ring.
Mm-hmm. Otodama, Voice of the Dead, Volume 2.
Oh, God of the Glass. I might read that. Anyways, Our Little Secret.
Oh, dear. Sankareya, Undying Love, Volume 6.
Say I Love You, Volume 1.
Sex Toys.
Wait until you see the next rankings for this coming week.
Oh,
Umineko, When They Cry, Banquet, The Golden Witch, Volume 2. I mean, Umineko, When They Cry, Episode 3, Banquet, The Golden Witch, Volume 2.
Yep. Vinland Saga, Volume 2. I could have sworn that already came out.
Huh. And Holic Ray, Volume 1.
Indeed. Cool. Let's see, and we have other releases. Edge of Tomorrow, which is All You Need Is Kill, Novel 1, Movie Tie-In.
So this ties into the movie?
Yeah.
Coming out? Is it going to have like a Tom Cruise lookalike in
there? Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow, okay, I was kidding. Well, okay. JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, All-Star Battle PlayStation 3 game.
Mm-hmm.
Kirby Triple Deluxe Nintendo 3DS game, Mario Golf World Tour Nintendo 3DS game, and Space Battleship Yamato DV Blu-ray live action. Wait, all is live action. That's why it didn't fit into the others.
Yep.
So what are the other releases? Mm. For last week.
Indeed.
You're not going to like this week.
All right, let's take a look at this. For the North American anime and manga releases for May 4th to 10th, starting off with anime releases, Aria, The Origination, Season 3, and Arietta OVA, DVD Collection Lightbox.
Crap. Code Cuties, DVD.
Oh, dear. Fusei, Memories of a Huntress, Blu-ray Premium Edition.
By Misa.
Mm-hmm.
Not to be confused with a sibling of mine who has the same name.
Mm.
Not that anybody cares. Anyways. Persona 4 DVD complete. What the heck? Get out of here, you stupid survey. Persona 4 DVD complete collection.
Oh, nice.
So that's the entire series.
Mm-hmm. Then Slave Market. Oh, jeez.
Speaking of which, I started playing Persona 3 again.
Mm.
And I'm still at the part where a certain character bit the dust. Anyways, Space Adventure Cobra, the original TV series, DVD Part 2.
Yay. Stepmother's Sin, DVD. Gosh.
Oh, boy. Anyways, manga releases.
All right. Alice in the Country of Hearts, Love Labyrinth of Thorns.
All You Need Is Kill, Color. I guess, is that the original? That's the original.
No, yeah, it's the manga, I think, but yeah.
Oh.
Bleach, Volumes 22 to 24, media. Omnibus.
Claymore, Volume 24.
High School Debut, Volumes 4 to 6, Omnibus.
Mayo Chiki, Volume 6.
Midnight Secretary, Volume 6.
I'm sorry you had to read that.
Well, that one's... I don't know.
That one's not barely...
That's not a porn title, really. I mean, it has nudity, but it's not a porn. As opposed to this next one, which I swear
Monster Musume is not. Monster Musume, Volume 3.
Yes, it is.
Monster Musume is not. It's just etchy.
No.
If it was, then it would show, but it's not. And yes, it shows up on a certain site. I'm not lying.
Yeah.
Probably because
telling you.
It's boring. Probably because, okay, just a little backstory. The characters are not, most characters are not human.
Well, yes, but I don't think anyone wants to know that at all. All right, Naruto, volumes 22 to 24, Omnibus.
Nisekoi, False Love, volume 3.
Otomen, volume 18.
Phantom Thief,
Jean.
Phantom Thief, Jean, volume 2.
I need to pick that up. Pokemon Adventures, volume 22, Ruby and Sapphire.
Siren, volume 16.
Alright, Ranma One Half, volumes 3 to 4, Omnibus.
Strahd Edge, volume 3, 4, Omnibus. That's not exactly what I thought it was about when I saw it, but oh man, I thought we talked about giant robots. I was thinking of Infinity Edge, I think.
Yeah. Alright, Trigun Maximum Omnibus 3.
Vampire Knight, volume 18.
And Zero's Familiar, Chevalier, volume 1.
Okay, and other releases, we have Hakuoki, Stories of the Shinsengumi for the PlayStation 3, and Street Fighter Classic Volume 3, Psycho Crusher comic. Bison.
Indeed. All right, what else do we have for news?
Okay, we have a lot of news here. Okay, Manga Erotics F Magazine is going to end its publication. The reason why I brought this up is because... one of the series that's featured in it is by Takako Shimura, who wrote, what was it called again?
The what now?
The one series, we had a guest on that, I forgot what it was called even.
Oh,
it was called something...
Oh
something,
yeah, Wandering Sun?
Wandering Sun, yeah, there you go, yeah. Hmm. Yeah, so that's kind of sad. It's going to cease publication on July 8th of its 88th volume. Yeah, it launched in the year 2000. It's a bi-monthly magazine launched in the year 2000, so kind of a shame. It's only been around 14 years, but you know, 14 years is a good run.
Yeah.
I have to agree, yeah, it's a good run.
Yeah, it's pretty decent.
Yeah.
Yep, alright, what else?
Another kind of a downer for those who kind of like the series. The wine manga, The Drops of End, is going to end in June.
How long has that one been running for?
Let me see. Doesn't say on here. But it's going to end in the 20th issue of the magazine on June 12th. It's going to end in about 5 more chapters. I think. Was it? Five more chapters? Or is that something else? I did. Which one was this one, though? Yeah, 5 more chapters.
Alright, well. It's a shame. Yeah, it's, I don't know, yeah, maybe the scanlations will catch up, but, yeah,
The plot, it makes sense for end about, to end right now, because, it, you know, you have to find these things, and...
Well, eventually it's going to end.
Yeah, it's going to end eventually. Have you been reading that?
I read a couple chapters.
And you got tired of it?
Well, no, they stopped scanlating it.
Oh, right, yeah. So, that's a shame.
Yeah, it made it a little difficult to read it, you know?
True.
So, yeah. And let's see. What else do we have?
More with the sad news. Kei Sadayasu's Nanto Magoroku baseball manga is going to end after 33 years. I don't know who this guy is. All you saw is that, oh, wow, 33 years. This is a good run. I'm going to put this up here.
Yeah.
It started in February 1981.
Oh, wow, that's impressive. This seems to be the season of
series. It was published in Kodansha's Monthly Shonen Magazine.
Have you read it before?
No.
Well,
I'm not in a sports manga. That's,
yeah.
One reason why I had such a lackadaisical attitude towards Cross Manage.
Jerk.
But I didn't do the voting. It was a Japanese on my fault, anyways. Fun. Okay, yeah. This is interesting. Mm-hmm. Oshino manga's depiction of Fukushima's radiation effects have been criticized.
Okay.
I don't understand why. Okay, basically, a single tweet got retweeted over 13,000 times and caused a big uproar over the depiction of the Yeah, there's based somehow how the characters were depicted as like having some sort of side effects from the radiation. But one of the tweeters who, you know, was the one responsible for all the tweeting, was right. like, I never had this symptom in the past 3 years. And, I guess it was probably too soon. You know, it's like, oh my goodness, I feel these symptoms, and so it's like, oh, dude, it happened 3 years ago. That's not good to do that. Okay.
Yes, that is. Yeah. Oh wait. Oh wow. That was in Oishinbo. Okay. Well, yeah. I read that.
Wait, you read that?
Yeah. Yeah. It's Yeah. It's. I mean, there's no obviously no scanlations, but. Yeah. Sorry, I wasn't paying attention. But yeah, I've read the. I've read the versions that were available from Viz. They have them kind of published in a sort of weird order, but yeah.
Oh, okay.
Let's see, there's a manga chair, the community who was supposed to make you plan for nosebleeds, exhaustion, they feel like based on your life, former mayor of the town. The reporters also complain of censorship, a large an issue possibly inspired by Tokyo Power Company's real life action, and let's see, after the chapter was published, a Twitter user claiming to be a resident of Koriyama Fukushima objected, writing, never suffered such symptoms over the past 3 years. The message was repeated more than 13,000 times. Let's see, and so on, yeah. So, okay, that's interesting.
Basically, I think it's more like a criticism about, hey, these symptoms aren't exactly true, but at the same time, they might. It's like, wait, what? It's kind of weird. The illnesses experienced by the reporters in the manga chapter were directly experienced by Karya himself after visiting the plant. Oh, that explains it.
Interesting. Yes, the doctor and radiation who appears in the chapter told them the connection between sickness and radiation is not exactly zero. That pest clearly stated with the Bakhtar eating. A huge, just with the lack of understanding. Okay.
I'm just gonna say this: the person who tweeted just overreacted, but it's just a tweet.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Yeah, it's just it's a little more of that whole weirdness of Japanese culture that we're not used to with, you know, people. I don't know. Just people overreacting like that
about
makes some kind of like official group look bad.
Yeah.
So, oh well.
Then again, a certain mangaka kind of had to end the series very prematurely because of his tweet about, being a big jerk and stuff.
Yeah. That's a little different.
I still like that series, though.
Yeah, it's a little different.
But, anyways. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. Evangelion's manga final volume has been unveiled in the TV ad.
Yes.
I did not see it because... Even though it's only 16 seconds, I didn't feel like watching it. The limited edition of the final volume will bundle an exclusive original cover of, the book ends for the entire 14 volume set. Wait, what? Wait, it's going to have book ends for an entire 14 volume set?
Yeah, you know, book ends as in things that you put, use to hold up this series.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And a booklet with about 16 pages and exclusive illustrations by Sadamoto, and a Yoshiyuki Sadamoto working music CD. As in, the CD will feature music that the creator liked to listen to when he was drawing manga. The volume will ship on volume 20. Nice. Cool! You better have a working music CD too when you finish Bleach. I want to hear your music.
Yes.
I seriously mean it. Avoid, fight them copyright issues if you have to.
Yes. All right.
Okay.
Yep. Well, that's good. I'm excited that we're getting a release date. And considering that Volume 13 came out in the U.S. at the same time, I wouldn't be surprised if Volume 14 comes out then for us as well. So
I'm really interested in the music CD, though. I want to see what kind of music that Sadamoto listened to when you writing the manga.
Yeah, that would be interesting. They'll probably have the track list online. But yeah, I wouldn't mind taking a look at that and seeing what's up. But yeah, so we'll have to put that on our calendar. Well, for now, we don't have an official release date, but I'll keep an eye on it for us. Then we'll see what we do.
It should be sometime this year, shouldn't it?
Yeah, it said November.
I mean, it's this year, the year that Evangelion started in the story.
Oh.
Eh?
Interesting. Interesting. It's ending when the story begins. That's kind of bizarre.
The beginning is the end.
Dun, dun, dun.
That makes total sense. Anyways. Mm,
yes.
Moving on.
That is kind of, yeah, that's amazing. I look forward to that. So, all right. Next, okay. What do you have next?
Comic Walker app adds Sword Art Online, Fairy Dance, and Excel World manga, along with a couple other series that you can go look up yourself.
Yeah.
If you don't want me to listen, trust me, it's too much.
Yeah, if you want to see where it is, just go to Anime News Network. They have the list.
Mm-hmm. Okay, another one. Kantai Collection Black Order manga is going to launch in Comic Walk.
I'm still not even sure what Kantai Collection is.
I don't even know myself, but they're okay, so yeah.
Something about a game, but oh well. It's a manga, hence we report.
Wait a sec. Oh no, this other one's called Kantai Collection Kankou. Which features characters competing with cards featuring Bima Moe characters inspired by Japanese World War II warships.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They sure like to what's the word? Humanize inanimate objects.
Yeah, it's yeah, that's, I don't know, fair enough.
I mean, they download countries, so I guess it's no. So it's like, oh, look, they did countries. Now we can do whatever we want. Like, okay.
Oh, dear. Yeah. All right.
There's one where they actually humanize stars, I think. That's a lot of stars.
Yeah, what else do we have?
Okay, and the Nuz free manga box app adds new series by Get Backers Seimaru Amagi.
Okay.
Yeah, it's on Anime News Network as well. one of these mentioned is Drop of God, which we just mentioned a while ago, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hmm. Cool.
Wait. Seimaru Amagi is one of many pending for Tadashi Agi, the creator of Get Backers, Kendaichi K5, The Night in the Area, and the Drops of God manga.
Oh, wow, he's done a lot. Well, those look kind of stylistically different. Yeah, I know most of those. I've only read Drops of God. I haven't read any of the other ones, but nice.
I swear I recognize Shinjuku D of D, but I guess I don't.
Oh. Yeah. Okay. What else do we have? We've got a couple more here.
Yeah, there's a few more. Yokai Watch Baby Steps wins the 30th Kodansha Manga Award. Wait, they had a mom. They had a Kodansha. Oh yeah, they did. Bless you.
Thank
again.
You.
So, yes. Okay, Yokai Watch won Best Children's Manga. Baby Steps won Best Shonen Manga. Taiyo no Ie won Best Shoujo Manga. And Shawa Genroku Rakugo Shinchu won Best General Manga.
Yes.
Nice.
Indeed.
Very nice.
Is this? Quite nice. Yeah, so Baby Steps, that's one I've heard is pretty good, but I haven't read yet. So it's another one of those ones that's joining the very, very large list that is both physical and metaphysical.
Ah.
The physical part being this massive stack of manga here.
Yeah.
And yeah, also speaking of which, we'll have to talk about what new manga we're going to talk about next week. But anyway, all right, last bit of news, what do you have?
All right, Viz Media is reprinting JoJo Bizarre's Avenger manga.
Oh, yes.
All of them?
Do they say?
Okay, Viz Media revealed by Twitter that it has reprinted it's all of the previously released JoJo's Bizarre Adventure manga.
Oh, okay, so it's just reprinting the,
Okay, it's released 16 volumes of the JoJo.
Okay, yeah, so it's just, yeah,
so
it's part
going,
three.
It's going up to the current where the anime is.
Yeah, it's the third arc.
That's a good way.
Yeah,
know,
I guess, but
going crazy.
Yeah, maybe they fixed the translation issues.
Oh man,
that might be.
Speedwagon was surprised. Wait, he was.
Yeah, I'll have you know. With that, I'm gonna wait and see.
I messed
what
up
people,
so
yeah, I'm gonna wait and see what people say about the reprinted editions. You know.
Okay.
And then before I get it, if maybe they retranslate it, or maybe they're probably just reprinting it.
And
But
then when you
yeah.
read it again.
Yeah, I could have sworn it was available on an Amazon, not as the reprinted version, or it's like it was still the original version, but oh well.
Okay. According to Biz Media, their tweet here says we already have. Someone says reprint JoJo, and they reply with they retweet with retweeted with we already have every volume should be in the warehouse by the end of May. They say every volume.
Every volume? No,
Very,
no.
very careful what you say. You say every volume. I'm thinking you actually got up to part eight as well.
Yeah, the news release says that it's reprinted its previously released volumes. So I'm pretty sure they're just talking about the part three stuff. But anyway, that's good. That's good. That's interesting. Maybe we'll take a look at it when it comes out, see what the deal is. But okay, did we have any other news?
No, that's it.
Okay, excellent. All right then. Well, before we move on to the next segment, which is the review segment, I do want to also point out that don't forget that we have Fairy Tail 38 and Seven Deadly Sins Volume 2 for next week that we will want to be buying tomorrow.
Oh, yes.
And so, yeah, but for this week, we're talking about volumes 28 through 30 of One Piece, and volume 3 of Nisekoi, and volumes 3 and 4 of Ranma One Half.
Oh boy.
Indeed. Hopefully, yeah, hopefully.
Oh, it's Skypiea. Yes, of course.
Indeed, yes. Yeah, hopefully, hopefully, Barnes & Noble gets the Fairy Tail 38 and Seven Deadly Sins 2 quickly, and I don't have to wait on it, because otherwise I'll have to order it. But anyway, all right. That is that, and let's go ahead and move on to our review section. It's time for the review section of Manga Cubed, and this week we have six volumes of manga, six volumes of manga to go through.
Oh no! No, like I'm
Oh no! Yeah, so. To start off with, let's go over the newest ones first. We've got volume 3 of. My.
Nisekoi.
Yeah, sorry, my Ranma volume has
Oh,
like
sorry.
bent
Yeah,
the cover.
there's three. Yeah.
Sorry, yes. Volume 3 of Nisekoi, and then volume 2 of Ranma, which is. Oh, jeez, it's bent a little. Which is volumes 3 and 4 of Ranma One Half.
Yeah, my notes. I put it as three and four because I'm like, no, I'm not gonna be confused here.
Yeah, I know, it's probably for the best, but the new edition of Ranma One Half, it's volume 2, even though it says volumes 3 and 4 on it, so that's actually probably the smarter way to go. All right, well, starting out with Nisekoi, just to give a quick recap of what happens this volume, we go from discovering that, that, dang it, Tsugumi, that Tsugumi is a girl.
Seishiro.
Yeah, Tsugumi. But
But,
Seishiro,
yeah.
Tsugumi, whatever. But yeah, turns out she's a girl. She was just Claude never realized that she thought found her when she was an orphan, thought she was a guy, gave her a guy's name, and has never realized that she is a girl.
Still hasn't realized it. He's an oblivious duck.
Yeah, and it's actually really, yeah. Do like she was like, well, at least he figured out I was Japanese. But yeah, and then from there, we kind of go through. We have the whole, oh, hey, look, Seishiro possibly has a crush on Raku, maybe. Kind of like the whole Ukyo and Ranma dealio with.
I like that.
Yeah, it is, is. This is definitely one of the parts that is very reminiscent of Ranma One Half with how it's all, oh, hey, look, this guy is actually a girl. And I discover it by starting to undress him. Do not ask why. No, but yeah. And so you got that. And then, yeah. Also, there's a kind of a funny, there's a funny little between the chapters, the extra, where it says, all the ones who realized Tsugumi was a girl. And it showed the teacher, Ruri, and Chu. And it's all the glasses wearers. You've got a little doodle of Onodera's like, hey, could I try on your glasses? He's like, huh? Why? Oh, no reason. Yep, and then we got some short little in between. Well, actually, wait. No, before. Right before we do the Yeah, before we do the Tsugumi might have a crush, we have a little in between chapter with Raku being sick and Chitoge and Onodera taking care of him, which that was a fun chapter because it had some really good expressions in it.
Wait a minute. If I recall, before it became published, you know, like printed legally and stuff, mm-hmm. when in the Scan Nations, around this chapter, they had this whole next thing, like Tsugumi's little day life in it, showing the next. Was that in this volume?
I don't think so.
I missed it. Oh,
I don't. Yeah, no, I don't notice it, at least. But yeah, then after that, we get the whole, oh, she has a crush, and then Chitoge does some digging into the past, and then they go on a school trip. And the school trip is amusing because the travel up there, Raku is squashed between the four of the girls. Well, the four girls that are there right now. And, yeah, I got a kick out of Ruri just messing with them. I was like, oh no, centrifugal force, nothing I can do about it. And she just pushes Onodera onto Raku. And, of course, he squeezes everyone up, next to each other and... It's quite entertaining. And, yeah, so then after that... Yeah, so we discover some more hints that Raku may be the guy that Chitoge remembers from being a kid and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see. Another highlight of the chapter is the Go Fish game, where it's determined that they have to reveal their first crush if they lose Go Fish. And... pretty much, Chitoge and Onodera are terrible at the game because they have no poker face. And that makes for the most entertaining part of the volume. Just seeing Onodera get the Joker and then being like, oh, hey, you're up next. You see her expressions when he's going to grab the Joker versus her expressions when he's going to grab a different card.
You're like, she's very easy to read, but she's cute. It's like,
yeah. And then you got basically Chitoge does the exact same thing. And of course the poker face is, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's like she finally gets a poker face and she's got a terrible poker face and it's pretty hilarious. But and then let's see, after that we have the bath scene, which is actually kind of refreshing in a certain way, not because it's like, oh, hey, look, fan service, more because it was, you know, Chitoge actually didn't blame Raku for the whole situation.
It's not like the girl's like, oh, I'm going to kick you out of your company. Oh, you're stuck in here.
Yeah, it's like, stop. Oh, wait, this is Cloud's fault. He swept the signs, not your fault at all. So I thought that was a nice touch. But, of course, yeah, fan service was a little... that's excessive. Well, whatever. This is kind of an odd chapter because up to this point there hasn't been an excessive amount of fan service. So for suddenly there to be a Hot Springs chapter was a bit weird. But, oh well, it's better than... at least this romantic harem comedy series had more restraint than some other ones that I could name.
Like a million others I can name.
Like every other one.
Every other one. Yeah. Even the ones that aren't even a harem comedy. Shonen.
Yeah. And then, we also got the last little bit is the, the Test of Courage. Which,
oh, that one.
Yeah, that one was kind of like, oh, man, because Raku somehow manages to end up in a pair with Onodera, but then he has to go save Chitoge, who is afraid of the dark and all that. So,
mm-hmm.
And you get some more, oh, wait, is he the boy from my memories? And it is quite nice. But, yeah, so that was Volume 3. What did you think?
I liked it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it was quite good. It had some really good moments in it. Some of the moments early on that really made me like this series. Especially has a good balance of some of the best faces in this series. I mean,
the faces.
Yeah, we get some better ones later on, but the stories that we get this volume definitely are some of the cream of the crop, shall we say, as far as faces are concerned.
Also, there's some little detail like the whole when Rocky was sick and.
Mm-hmm.
Was it Chitoge tried to peel him an apple? must say that's gonna come back later on.
Yes, that much later on. So far later on that we talked about it a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, well, might as well just reference it. Hey, look, this actually happened before.
Yeah. Well, I kind of wonder if you've got people that are listening to our reviews but not our commentaries. So that would be kind of interesting. All right, then. Let's move on to Ranma 1/2 because we've got a lot to get through here. And there's too much to go through with all of Ranma 1/2. Let's just say we get the entirety of the Kodachi introductory story.
Rama and Akane meet the martial arts ice skating champion team and fight them.
Oh, yeah, that happens right after that.
For Charlotte.
Yeah, which was Pichan, who is Ryoga. And because you have...
When I reread this, I was like, oh my goodness, I remember this. I remember this so well.
Yeah, and we have one of my favorite moments from the series when I started watching it and then reading it again was, after Ranma gets kissed by Mikado.
Oh, yeah.
And Akane is sort of like chewing him out and she's like, oh, you talk a good game, but you leave yourself open a lot. And then he sort of like, shows her up as like, who are you to talk, by basically breaking her guard by sort of like swiping her so that she ends up on his lap. And then they're close to him like, it's embarrassing. And sort of like, oh yeah, you know what? You don't have the guts to kiss me anyway. And then he says, yeah, well, I might. And then they don't. And it's sort of, it was cute. Let me just say it was cute the first time. The next million times that you get scenes like this, you're just like, oh, come on. But I do like the ending where it's like, they're just sort of sitting there and they're like, oh, if you don't mind, I don't mind. And then the rest of the family is like, come on, we don't have all day. Get a move on. And let's see. Yeah, then you get the rest of that fight, which is a really great fight. It has a good...
Yoga had some great moments in there.
Yeah. It definitely... Yeah, this was definitely good in that with how it makes it very clear that Ranma and Akane are meant to be the couple, so that there's no chance. I've heard that with her Rumiko Takahashi's previous series, Urusei Yatsura, the Ataru was meant to end up with his... girlfriend from the series, the human girl, I can't remember her name, but then the girl that became his ex-girlfriend in the series, but then Lum became more popular than her, and so she changed who the romantic pairing was.
Wow, she just changed it like that.
Yeah, so I think with this one series, I've heard hints from other reviews, check out mangabookshelf.com for the review, that Takahashi was going, was taking the approach of, oh, hey, I want to make sure that people are very clear who the Bane couple is. And then she gives, in this these two volumes, she gives us clear reasons why you should root for Ranma and Akane, rather than being like, oh, hey, he should end up with Kodachi, or he should end up with Shampoo, who's introduced in the next story.
But they're not the ones I like.
No, yeah, no.
She comes in like many. Yeah. I think she comes in like how many chapters later? 50 chapters later.
Now, you know what's very interesting? Something that I feel that I need to point out. The whole guy is in love with girl. Girl has an older sister and a younger sister. Is very common. In this case, it's swapped
it
a little bit. Yeah, well, take, for example, Cat's Eye. Yeah, you should read Cat's Eye, but basically it has the main character. She's a girl. She's the middle sister. She has an older and a younger sister, and she's the one with the boyfriend. And also that one series about bathhouses. Remember that one?
Oh, that one. Yeah,
that one does the whole...
That one. That's a Satan. Clearly a Satan.
Well, yes, but nonetheless, it still follows the... he's with the middle sister... And the thing that these two series and other series that do it as well, I can't name any right now, do is that they, the middle sisters, the main love interests, are the boring ones, Well, with Ranma 1/2, they make a slight change. One, Akane is the youngest, so that's a change to the dynamic before the dynamic was really a a stereotype. No, not a stereotype. I mean a trope. But it also changes it that she manages to not be the most boring one of the sisters. Granted, I think Nabiki is the most interesting one just because she's got the biggest gimmick going on. But Akane is definitely more interesting than, say, than Kasumi is, even though Kasumi is one of those manga characters where my opinion is, if you were a real person, I would marry you in a heartbeat.
Well, but don't try to end up like Dr. Tofu, because you know how happens when Dr. Tofu's around her.
Yeah.
Kasumi's here, run away, run away.
Yep, and they never end up together, and that's how, and that is my headcanon. No, but yeah, nonetheless, you know, it is very often that the girl that's meant to be the actual main love interest is always the freaking boring one.
Yeah.
With this one, not so much. I mean, Akane isn't the most interesting character here, but she has plenty of really interesting moments and works well enough. And she's likable enough so that the cute moments with her and Ranma are enjoyable. You know, you're not looking at them and thinking, you know, this would be more entertaining if he was with this other girl. You know, which is often a problem with series that have romances that are focused of the love triangle variety. You know, you always just can't help but think, you know, all these moments between the main character and the main girl would be a lot more interesting if it was between him and a different girl. But Akane manages to not be that, even though Shampoo is definitely one of the more entertaining ones. She does have the, you know, they do manage to balance a good, balance between her being the, you know, the sexier one by making her really, really freaking annoying.
Who?
Shampoo.
Oh, yeah.
Like, annoying in the way where you're just like, will you just freaking go away? But, you know.
You mean she's kind of like a certain character that's going to appear later in Nezuko, right? With the whole, you know.
Not as.
Well, not like that. Not as annoying, but, you know.
She's meant to be more like, you know, the sexy, seductive one, except. You know, you don't kind of get that vibe.
I don't get that vibe at all whenever I read that.
I don't know, yeah. I mean, it's meant to be played like that, but you don't kind of get that entirely. But, you know, nonetheless. Yeah, so let's see. And let's move on. Did you have anything else you wanted to add?
To this volume?
Yeah.
To this omnibus. Okay, Well, okay, when there's a part where they said the Amazons and they were in China. Like, wait, I thought Amazons were Greek.
They are. She's appropriating them, okay?
Okay.
It's what manga authors do.
Plus, Amazons are kind of mythology, I guess. So
actually real, but the idea works. And
I'll be honest, before I knew Amazons were Greek, I always thought they were from Amazon River. Like everyone else did.
No, it's other way around. The river was named after them.
Yeah, but the biggest river in the world.
Yeah, nonetheless, I still like the idea of Chinese Amazons, even though it's not part of the mythology, or at least I'm pretty sure it isn't, and it's taken from Greek mythology. Mm-hmm. I do think it works because, one, China is known for its martial arts, so
yep.
A martial culture makes sense, and it's a very large country, so you could definitely see how it would make sense to have, like, just, you know, somewhere hidden in the mountains, a village of women, you know, just hidden away. It works. It works for me. All right. Let's do this. We've got, all right, do we have enough time to go over 3 volumes of One Piece, do you say?
Oh, yes, we can. We just can't linger on too long, even if I do would like to.
Yep. Yeah. Well, volume 28 of One Piece. All right, then. So, what happens here? What does happen?
The game starts, and those games start, and and everyone starts fighting. And the first one to be taken out is Shura, of all people. I'm like, oh that's fast.
Yeah, that is.
He's probably the most dangerous one, apparently.
Yeah, a good chunk of volume 28 is, just everyone fighting everywhere. And so
it's a shonen, and you're complaining about fighting.
I'm not complaining.
No. The readers back then.
Well, yeah, maybe a little bit much, you know. But You know, it is still very interesting with the introduction of the dials, you
Oh,
know.
yeah.
And you get a lot of people that are, you know, there's only 25 people left at the end of the volume, and you've got everyone kind of, you know, basically it's kind of hard to be, oh, and then this happened and then this happened, because a lot of it is very much just there was a lot of fighting, and that's kind of hard to, you know,
Only
describe. It's
actually the fight chapters didn't consist primarily of all the entire fight. It was mostly like some story here and then it moved into fighting.
Yeah,
And then
true.
so even though it said like Zoro versus Braum, it was still some stuff going on before the fight in the chapter happened. So I was like, oh look, it's actually not a chapter that doesn't have fighting all the way through, like a certain series I know of.
Yeah, definitely.
It
Yeah, and it
starts
was definitely very interesting seeing all the people match up, and the Shandians were interesting enough, despite, you know, them still being relatively new. Seeing them fight was interesting because they had an interesting way of fighting. And let's see, anything else worth pointing out? We get to see Eneru in action, where we basically, I believe, yeah, we see that he's of a type similar to Crocodile, where you try to hurt him and it doesn't happen because he is lightning. So you stab him, it's no good because he's a Logia type. And he's a very freaking powerful Logia type because freaking lightning.
Lightning, man, lightning.
Exactly. That is exactly what he is. He is, yeah, it is very much, he is bad, bad news. And yeah, he takes out, what's his face? I forget. It's kind of hard to remember them all. But yeah, anyway, he takes. One of the takes out a couple of the Shandians with his powers. And okay, let's see. Let's move on to volume 29.
Yes, let's do that.
All right, volume 29. And why is my computer freezing up?
Some more, it starts with Robin's fight.
Oh yes, yeah. Which one of the only good fights that she actually gets,
One of the
but
fights that she only ever, gets so
yeah,
far till later on.
And she also manages, and it's also kind of a lower tier villain. And she basically just beats him by rolling him along this path with her hands and just throwing him off a cliff. Which is, I really would love to see more fights for Robin because, I mean, come on. The ways that she could win are absolutely hilarious.
Well, she's not really a fighter, as you can tell.
Well, yeah, but. You know, still, it would be entertaining to see her, you know, to see her actually, you know, get more fights.
True.
But yeah, let's see. After that, you get Chopper fighting, and you get
That was the previous
Nami.
volume.
Yeah, you get, well, no, he, well, he runs into the dude with the sword.
Yeah, and then he then gets knocked out.
Yeah, and you run into Nami, and Group runs into the giant snake. See, there's also an interesting color spread, which I thought was for chapter 268. I just want to point out you've got the color spread of Robin with like a wolf and a seal, and there's like an old castle in the background. And I'm kind of thinking, whoa, foreshadowing for Thriller Bark much?
Oh,
Yep. And yeah, so we finally get this. A good chunk of this volume is definitely Zoro's fight, where he's fighting what's his face, the dude with the
wow.
sword. Om,
Om.
that's it. Oh yeah, I remember that thinking when I was
His
reading.
dog's name, Holy or Hori, or is it
Yeah,
Holy?
I don't know, but yeah, I enjoyed this. Yeah, I enjoyed this chapter because when I first read this fight, it was, it was when I was in high school and in physics, and I was like, we were going over electricity, and I was like, oh, ohm, I get it.
Yeah, ohm. That's an electronics technician thing, I
It's
should know.
an electronics technician joke. It's like, you guys
Yes.
must be the life of the freaking party.
Yeah,
He's like, hey, guess what? This one character from One Piece, he sounds like a measurement of resistance. It is a
it
measurement of resistance, right?
is, it is.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, there's just as a quick side note, there's this cable at the college that I went to. It's like this cable with a ball that kind of moves with like stuff, and it's like meant to be like an electricity thing. And it mentioned, and there's a warning on it. Warning, do not touch. 10,000 ohms. And I'm just sitting there, and I'm like, wait a minute, ohms is a measurement of resistance, not of electricity.
Yes,
Oh,
I think it's supposed to be both.
you cheeky bums! It's actually safe. It's just this material can resist up to
Were
10,000
you at a
ohms.
joke shop? If you're at a joke shop, it makes sense. But if it wasn't, and then it was like, and if it was a one piece, and they're gonna be like, oh my God, if I touch that thing, 10,000 ohms will attack me.
Yeah, I was like, oh no! Yeah, and so
Will feel sorrow,
yeah,
and you will die because of it. Like, oh no, don't.
yeah, and let's see, yeah, so we
It's not an oath.
also worth pointing out after the current One Piece chapters, it's kind of interesting seeing this, where they're stuck in basically a cage match, which is very similar to to Doflamingo's thing that he's doing currently. And but yeah, let's see. We also get yeah, you get what's her name? Rocky, she's called here. I thought her name was Locky. Oh well. But yeah, she tries to, she comes to warn Viper about what Enaru actually is and what his power actually is, and
And
then
then she doesn't get to. He's like, nope, he zaps her. Like, well, that was kind of pointless.
yeah, and you're just like, well, that was, well, thank goodness she, oh no, she's dead. She's never coming back. But yeah, and we continue, let's see, continue fighting. We get to have Nami and Luffy meet up inside the snake.
Was like one of the best moments ever. Just
Yeah.
like, no, wait, you were the one causing the trouble? Oh, yeah. Oh, wait, I'm in the snake? Yes, you are.
Yep, and then you also get the
The panel when the three of them realized, oh my God, he was the one that did
Yeah,
it.
it's like, this is all your fault, you jackass.
Even got both like, oh my God, this
Yeah.
kid's crazy.
And let's see, you get, let's see, before, I guess Luffy doesn't manage to get out. Or he disappears, but yeah, then the snake gets zapped, and yeah, so they're all like, "Hey, we're," he's like, "we're standing up to you, Enaru," and it's like Gonfall, Viper, Zoro, and Robin. And you're just sitting there, sort of like, one of these things is not like the others, by which I mean Robin, because sadly, One Piece, as amazing as it is, still falls to the shonen tropes of she is not one of the most powerful characters. Although then again, she and Gonfall probably fit that description in this story. But let's
Yeah.
see. We get a good, let's see. We get a little bit of a flashback where we see when Enaru invades. But then after that, you've got Enaru who is doing his blah blah, who will join me, and they're like, no, we're not going to join you, and they all get
It'll find like, it's
yeah.
like, one of you must lose. And it's like, oh, no, it's me, you. It's like, no, not me, not me. Nami's like, oh no, it might be me. And it's like, it'll be you. That
Yeah, and it looks like,
was
yeah,
awesome.
and then you've got Robin tries to outsmart him, but he's like, ah, you can't outsmart me. He's like, I despise conniving women. And he zaps me, he like shoots a lightning bolt right at her head.
Yep.
And then you get the and
But
then you get the moment where a ship was born, or maybe not necessarily born, but all the shippers like to refer back to this as the big moment where Zoro catches her as she falls.
oh,
And
yeah.
then the people that like to look for sexism everywhere point out what happens immediately after that, where Zoro's like, it's like, she's a woman. And you're just like, yes. Yes, she is.
So, hey, Zoro, did you take it easy on Tashigi those times just because? That's why.
Yeah, I think that's probably he.
Probably.
Yeah, people give Sanji a lot of shit for being excessively chivalrous, but I kind of get the feeling that Zoro is even more so guilty of that. But yeah, and then after that, you got him and Viper get beaten up by Enaru, and Enaru is the only one left, basically. So, and yeah, that was
I think
one.
it was really interesting when Viper tried to take out Eneru, and it was like, and remember when Loggy was saying, oh no, he don't stand somebody, like, why would he not stand a chance? And then, because then Viper's like, I have Sea Stone. Like, oh, yeah, Sea Stone. Well, you know, that could work. And then Eneru gets zapped, and then he gets up because he had, with lightning, is able to jumpstart his heart. So again, like, oh, crap.
Yeah.
It had to be lightning of all things.
Yeah, it's sort of like, oh no. We're in trouble. Such lightning. Wow.
Such lightning.
Yep. And, all right. So, let's move on to One Piece Volume 30. Get through my this.
Favorite volume.
Oh, frickin' yes. Yeah. So, yeah, this is the one where Wiper gets taken out, then Zoro gets finished off, and he... Things happen to his neck that should not be possible for him because his neck stretches out. And then Nami is, oh, hey, I'll go with you. And you're just like, Nami, you jerk, you traitor, you're at it again. Except at the same time, it's like, well, what the crap was she supposed to do?
What was she supposed to do? Just freaking throw a cyclone temple at him? Mm-hmm. And then just dodge and just zap her. Like, no, nah, didn't work.
And then we get Luffy... I don't know how he's there, but you get Luffy, somehow he's in the eyes.
Somehow. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's, like, in the eyes, and him and Ice are in the eyes, and so he gets out, and he goes after Enaru, and he notices, like, wait a minute, Nami isn't there, and he finds out from Robin, Nami's been taken, and then another moment where a ship was apparently confirmed, where Luffy goes to save Nami, and he shows up, and before that, you've got Connus trying to tell people, "Hey, we need to get out of here."
Like, yeah, this really. This has to throughout the volume.
Yeah, it's kind of split up there, but you've got Luffy shows up, and Nami is all teary-eyed, and oh, Luffy, you came to save me. They exaggerated it a bit in the anime, but with her running up to the edge of the ship and being all teary-eyed and stuff. Here it's not as much, but yeah, still. The ship was born, well, not born, but yeah, emphasized, but yeah.
She was get, born.
Yeah, and then, yeah, it was hardly born.
In the literal case of the ship, the Maxim.
Yeah, yes. But yeah, so we get the beginning of the fight between Luffy and Enaru, and we get the best... One of the funniest parts of the entire series, as it's so dramatic and Luffy is getting hit by the attacks and Enaru is using his mighty powers to strike him down, and Luffy's just kind of standing there with his lips pursed and he's just like and then Enaru's like, looks like you were able to dodge it, and he's like, lightning dragon, and Luffy, and it hits Luffy and everyone's just staring at him like he's like, 100 million volt, Varier, and Nami is, I like Nami, where she's slowly starting
to realize,
yeah, she's like, could it be that lightning doesn't work on him because he's made of rubber? And then Luffy is just, tells Enaru to not, just like, stop it! And you get the first in a series of best faces ever. With Enaru realizing how much shit he's in. Because he's fighting his one natural enemy. And Luffy is the only guy that can actually hurt him. Because he's made of rubber. And rubber insulates against electricity. And yeah, he's the only one that can beat Enaru. And I absolutely love that. Where Luffy isn't necessarily more powerful than Enaru. He just has resistance against Enaru's abilities, so that makes him the only person without haki, as we find out later on, that can fight him. And what's absolutely hilarious is how we go through this entire arc with not even thinking about, oh, wait a minute, do you think that Luffy being made out of rubber might have an impact on the final battle? It's like, I didn't even think of it, and then I saw that, and I was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
It's hilarious.
Well, because I remember when I was reading it up to the point before Luffy and Enel fought, I was like, when Enel was really lightning, and I was remembering Luffy's rubber, I was like, wait a second.
Awesome. And what's really nice is that it doesn't, Oda doesn't end it there. He actually shows off that Enaru is able to use his abilities in other ways, and he's also, a lot tougher than just, he doesn't entirely rely on his abilities. He's able to, manipulate gold with his electricity. Make it like super hot and everything, so he's able to use weapons and such things against Luffy. And yeah, so the fight basically continues throughout the battle. I mean, throughout the volume, with Luffy being, oh yeah, and also worth pointing out, another ship moment is when Luffy gives his hat to Nami.
Oh yes.
Yeah, let's see, when did that happen? Oh yeah, there it is. He just tosses it to her, tells her to stop worrying. There's a funny comic that I saw, which was, you know, Luffy's hat language.
Which, oh, yeah, sort of like, I remember that.
You know, it was like the whole put hat on head is like you're my companion, or throwing it at her is like stop worrying, or then it just shows Luffy wearing like one of those Macarena fruit hats, and he's like, come on, this should be easy, and I'm just like, I have no idea what you're trying to say. But yeah, from there we get Luffy gets a giant gold ball stuck on his head, foreshadowing the Kintama moment later on.
He's missing one more.
Yeah, it was like, ah! Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Those of you that... Some of you thought that was hilarious. So, anyway. Yeah, Luffy gets knocked overboard, and Nami stands up and is like, you know what? I'm not going with you. And Inaru's like, well, I'm gonna kill you now. And then... But fortunately for her, she... Yeah, her friends are coming to save her. By which I mean, let's see, where is it? Yeah, well, her friends come to save her, but she also manages to protect herself a little bit with her Klima tact. But, you know, she can't fight back. But yeah, Usopp and Sanji come, manage to save her. And they manage to get away with Usopp getting beaten the crap up. And Sanji gets beat up pretty bad, letting Nami
and Usopp escape. But he had an awesome moment, though. He was like, oh, yeah, I stopped your ship.
Yeah, and also the line when he gets zapped by, Inaru's lightning. He's just like, oh, hey, thanks. I was just thinking, I needed a light.
Dude, so did his cigarette.
Yeah, and he's like, oh, yeah. He's like, is that what you wanted to say? He's like, oh, drop dead. And then he collapses. And, yeah, he manages to stop the ship as well, where... And let's see from there. Let's see what else do we have. And yeah, then we kind of basically end off with Luffy running up the vine to go after Enru, the stalk. Yeah. Because he's like, oh, hey, I need to stop Enru because he's going to destroy the whole country. And we start it with him with a giant freaking lightning storm that's going to destroy the country. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, and that was volumes 28, 29, and 30, the not necessarily climax, but the meat of the story for Skypiea, and the part where things finally, you know, well, not finally pick up, but I mean the part where things really come to a head, as we get to see all the one of the most awesome battles. And, yeah, I have to say, so far, from what we've read, the fights, the stuff that seemed like it was tedious was actually only, like, 3 volumes, maybe. So it's
probably because the scanlation bothered, well, okay, no. For the Japanese readers, I guess, like you said, waiting another week every time, and then there's Golden Week and break, and sometimes.
Yeah.
I think sometime around this arc, Oda got sick.
Yeah. It's
so that could have been another reason, too.
It's certainly possible, but all right. Well, yeah. So, what do we think of these 3 volumes? Your opinion first.
I liked it a lot. Not because of the shit. I mean, but mostly because of all the awesome, you know, all the awesome casual moments. I mean, seeing a character like Gunfall be like, maybe if I just poke a hole through it, and I'm like, don't do that. You're gonna kill Saul. Wait. So this guy, he was the so-called mayor. And he thinks he's going to just stab a hole through a giant snake and think that it'll make its way through.
We also find out that Kami, as they translate it here, or mm-hmm. God, as it was translated for us many times, basically Kami is more like a governor or a mayor or a president. He's like, he's the ruler of the skies, but he's not, you know, he's not a divine being.
Well, it's Sky because there's other Sky Islands. Sky is mm-hmm. one. So I'm guessing it's more like Gunfall, like mayor.
Kind of like that, yeah.
Or governor, like that, but not.
Yeah, well, no, not necessarily president, but yeah. So, you know, You basically, I mean, they're going with the whole motif of we live in the sky like the angels and all that. So, yeah, definitely. All right, but yeah, I think myself, I really like these volumes just because it has some of the most awesome fights, and especially volume 30 has the best some of the best moments in it as Luffy, meets up with Enaru for the first time. And I also liked in volume 29. I mean, at the time, I have to admit, I was guilty of being of enjoying the moment where Zoro, who up until this point was antagonistic towards Robin, decides to save her when she, well, save, I mean, catch her when she falls. So that at the time I really liked. And I'm still looking
I
at it
just
again,
looked
and
at
I
all
was.
this. Oh, he's a nice guy.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, maybe a little bit sexist in with what he said immediately afterwards, but still, he's a good guy, you know?
But where the snake cried made me cry though
Oh,
a bit.
yeah.
So just like, it's like all of a sudden when it found that ancient city,
Oh, yeah.
and then of course this is before the next three volumes that we're gonna be doing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, what's this? The snake seems very. And then read the next three volumes. Like, oh my God, now it makes sense. Now I want to cry.
Yep, and yep. So let's see. Other than that,
I like Chopper versus Genzatsu fight personally because it was just funny.
Yeah, that was kind of amusing. Yep.
It's like Genzatsu-san, you can't see him. Your eyes are rolled back. I'm like, huh? Oh, right.
It's like, oh dear, this guy's a weirdo. All right. Well, okay, and I think that wraps things up, does it not, for our
Yes, I'm so glad that
review?
the Wapo side story arc is gone too.
Oh yeah, that was entertaining. But
It was,
yeah, we
but
started
yeah,
halfway
it's
through.
like
We
technical.
started with Ace's story. I keep thinking we should
Oh yeah,
comment.
aces.
Yeah, we should. I keep thinking we should comment on those, but I keep forgetting to pay
Oh
attention to
yeah,
them
well
when we
okay, well
post
back
them.
in Alabaster there was Hachis.
Yeah,
There's
maybe.
some hints
Oh,
that
ooh, ooh, ooh! I got an idea. What we should do after we finish, finish and are caught up with One Piece, what we should do is we should go and. We should go over the side stories.
Stories.
You know? Yeah, that would be kind of fun. Just have like one podcast where we go through every one of them and just, skim through many, many, many volumes of One Piece and just comment on each one. I mean, we wouldn't take much time per side story, but yeah. All right then. So that was the review section, and for next week we have, this is going to be a bit of a packed review rotation here, just because well, we're almost done for this month's new releases. Next week we will of course be going over volumes 31, 32, and 33 of One Piece.
We finishing one. Well, we finishing the Skype arc, of
Yeah,
course.
and we'll also be getting into the Davy back fight arc, which that covers pretty much the entirety of volume 33, and then it goes over into 34. But yeah, we'll get to that when we get to that. Let's see. I need to buy some more manga for more One Piece. I'm getting a little close because right now I've got 31 through 33, and then I've got 34 through 42. And then after that, for some reason, Barnes and Noble doesn't have the ones.
So just one piece, right? Not
Yeah.
okay, good.
Well, actually, we have Fairy Tail Volume 38 and The Seven Deadly Sins, Volume 2.
But only five this time, not
Only
six.
five, yes.
One less than this piece.
Fortunately, after this, we'll get a little bit of a break in that. After this, we don't have anything new until Fairy Tail Volume 39
Okay.
in June,
Okay.
and there's no new releases between the two coming out today and that one. And then after that, there's no. Fairy Tail is 39 is on the 17th of June, and that one is the only release for June. I might have to check for some more other releases to see if there's anything we're missing, but I don't think so. I spent a lot of time going over this, but right. For now, let's go ahead and stop this segment here and go on and talk about our commentary section, shall we?
Yes.
It is time for the manga commentary for this week's chapters. And let's go ahead and get started with Nisekoi. Also worth pointing out, they've got the little ad there for Volume 3. They've got the ad for Volume 3 of Nisekoi, and I really like the little detail where Chitoge is her bow, or her hair tie, or whatever you
ribbon.
Call it.
Ribbon.
Yeah. It's tied up into an origami crane on her head.
What?
Yeah, when you look at it, you'll see that it's like a little origami crane, and I was like, oh, that's a nice little detail there.
They pay attention to these things, damn it.
I don't know, I just happened to notice it now. But anyway, chapter 121, Little Brother. All right, so, we've got Yue who is, basically saying, hey, you're not going to be able to, you're not going to be able to find out what's going on until you decide who you really care about. Otherwise, that pendant won't open. You know what my theory is? I think that the reason that her key is broken and the reason that, Chitoge's key broke in the lock on Raku's pendant is because there is a piece of Yue's key stuck in the pendant.
Oh, wow, you have to remember that.
Yeah, and then that's why it got cut, got snapped, because it was just stuck there. So it's kind of thinking that's probably what's going on there. And let's see, so yeah, for the rest of the chapter, we got some more of the sleepwalking, which was amusing, and overall, I really liked this chapter. I thought it was just kind of a lot of fun, though one thing that's weird about Yui's design is that it's really kind of hard to tell whether she's supposed to be drawn as an adult or as, like, a teenager who's, like, only, like, 18 or whatever her age is. Because depending on where she's being drawn, she looks like she's closer to age to the previous teacher.
The age of the previous teacher.
Yeah, and so you're just like, that's a little, okay, that's odd, but whatever. Let's see, and...
There were some funny moments, like the part where she was tying Raku's head, and Manga's like, "You shouldn't be doing that. That's not proper Kana." And she's like, "Oh, okay." And he's like, "Glasses, teacher mode. I'll take that off," and just start being like, "Decency."
Yeah, we had some. Yeah, Marika had some really great moments this chapter, just the way she's chewing out Yue, and then we also we get a little bit of her sad backstory of her parents are dead, her brothers are dead, and everyone's dead.
Brother?
He's or I think I mentioned
her family is dead.
Oh right, yeah. Oh yeah, no, her she didn't have any siblings. Not that they
her
died, it's
dead.
Just they never existed.
Yeah, her parents are just dead.
Yeah, so Raku is basically the only family, so he's always like, oh, I'll stop acting I've gotta stick up my butt. And then we get a reveal where she's like, I've always loved you and not just as my little brother. And you're like, there we go.
Yep, I'm not surprised, but okay, I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, that's the thing with Nisekoi is, even if you have a specific girl that you're rooting for at the same time, it's really hard. It's really hard to actually, care which one ends up, because all of them are valid candidates, so I'd be fine with either one, which is good, because there have been plenty of romantic series where I've been like, he needs to end up with this girl, and then he doesn't, and I was like, fuck this series.
Like you said, other romantic series that, I never read much of those, but the way I've noticed that, they usually focus on the main girl so much. And then they try and focus on the other girls, but then it's like, oh, those girls don't really matter. Back to the main girl, and the guy gets to the main girl, the girl he focuses on the most. Yeah. But this one is like, it's like equal opportunity. Okay, except Tsugumi's kind of like last places.
Yeah,
out left field there.
Yeah, with this series, the thing with the thing is that you've got. Ideally, with a romantic harem series, you have this, you sort of like sit there wondering, oh, who is he actually going to end up with? While at the same time, there being fairly clear who the main girl is and who he's going to end up with.
Yeah.
So, but
does the one shot really dictate everything?
Well, no, it's not even that. I mean, just besides that, I mean, Chitoge is presented as the main female lead, so, you know, it's very clearly going to be her. But at the same time, the series is really good about making it remain unclear a good chunk of the time. And, I mean, a bad example of a series like this would be one where, you know, it's so clear who the love interest is going to be that any time spent on any of the other girls is a complete waste of frickin' time. A good example of that would be the manga Aiyori Aoshi.
Ah, yes.
Which, yeah, you read that one, and it's very clear that he's going to get together with the main girl, that such that all the other girls just feel like a waste of the reader's time.
And that series ended, right?
Oh, yeah, it ended.
Okay,
yeah.
So we can't. So I can't mention History Strong Decided Pinnacle, which isn't a romantic comedy, but it's clearly obvious who the main character likes.
Well, yeah, except it's not trying to pull the who will he end up with card.
You know? Yeah, even though all the other girls.
You know, I mean, if you're going to do the he or she is clearly going to end up with this person, then, you know, don't waste our time trying to see, oh, look at all these other girls that he's totally
going to end up with. Yes, Maho-sensei Negima.
Well, there, that was just freaking confusing. Anyway, let's talk about All You Need Is Kill, Chapter 14, which somehow he ends up elsewhere.
Title, Morning Coffee.
Yep, it's like somehow he, yeah, somehow, KG.
I wonder if it's hot coffee.
Shut up. Anyway, somehow KG ends up in the same room as Rita, and you kind of have to wonder, like, oh, wait, how does that, I mean, I'm not sure what the timing here is, because this is most likely not him waking up after dying, so I think, what was the time, he wakes up, they do the training, and then the battle is the next day, was that it?
Yeah, well, what I don't understand is, why the heck was Rita in her underwear?
Why do you think?
Why was that, okay, yeah. What exactly happened?
Yeah, well, I don't know. But yeah, anyway, it is, yeah, I'm pretty sure this is sort of meant to be seen as, oh, hey, he's woke really up happy after being killed, but then you're kind of looking at it and thinking, no, wait, no, that's not how that did. So the timeline was a little weird, but
yeah,
they talk about coffee. And I'm kind of just sitting there saying, like, how are you people not gagging from the absolute nasty smell that stuff is giving off?
I'm just, and when I was reading, I was like, oh, okay, I can see where it's going to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but, well, where it goes is they get attacked by mimics.
Yes, but before all that, they were all talking about, you know, like I said, come a coffee and saying, oh, it'll be great, and I'll treat you to green tea when it's all over. I'm like, oh, death flag.
Yeah.
Death flag. I mean, it's like, hey, no, mm-hmm, when it's all over, we'll have some fun.
Mm-hmm.
Fun. Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then there's the part where the whole, oh, this is me, Japan's up with stuff. I'm like, Japan, did you really have to do that?
Yeah, well, I don't know. Yeah, it is kind of like, you do realize that no real actual person would be, oh, this Japanese material, this Japanese material is so durable, so much better than our crappy American-made glass. You do realize how freaking proud Americans are, right?
Oh, at our most, material is so powerful, much stronger than them Americans.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, you do realize that your average American isn't going to be complimenting the strength of your glass. They're more likely to be, oh, hey, we're being attacked, we should probably do something about that. You know, it's, you know, even if they, you know, even if your average American is going to acknowledge the fact that that glass is stronger, they're not going to be all, oh, Japanese glass is so strong because America. Everything is better in America. So,
yeah,
you know, just saying, this is not a realistic thing that any American would ever say because we're a bunch of assholes. So this is pretty much just a wish fulfillment. I'm pretty sure that's what it is, where it's like just them being all, oh yes, and then our stuff is so awesome that even those arrogant Americans say that it's awesome. I'm just like, in your dreams.
And then one day they bring out giant robots and we're like, oh my god, they had this all planned.
Yeah, and then our reaction would be, Ha ha ha. We've had robots this entire time. They just happen to be flying death machines. So, bye-bye. But yeah, anyway, after our little dick measuring contest with the nation of Japan. Yeah, so we basically end the chapter with them getting suited up and they're going to go out and fight and stuff. Cool.
I was kind of surprised. I was like, "Oh, look!" I was like, "Wait, so it penetrated the glass, and somehow I was like, why didn't they just destroy the glass like a second time by penetrating it some more?"
Because even the mimics decided, oh, this Japanese material, it is so much stronger.
It's so much stronger. We must retreat and try again.
Like, quick, let's go fight America. Those guys are pussies.
Hey.
Yeah, but also what's amusing is that you have Shasta that shows up, and Rita's like, hey, use my room. It's tougher than it looks. And I'm like, you mean the place that just got penetrated by like three needles and would probably break if they did that again? She's gonna die.
Yeah.
Shasta is a dead woman, but
Well, we don't know who's gonna live after before this
yeah, this is.
the loop.
Yeah, this is probably the last battle of this area. But anyway, I liked it. Good chapter. Good stuff. All right, let's go ahead and talk about Toriko, chapter 276.
Okay, for those eating, prepare your stomachs.
Yeah, this is a yeah. Basically, yeah. It turns out that the monster responsible for it all is the Soylent Meme. Which is
I'm obsessed
amusing.
wasn't mean. I was like, oh man.
Yeah. Which is amusing because I'm like, I don't know what that name has to do with the actual mythological thing this is based on, but that is kind of amusing the way it's all like. It's like, ah, oh, Soylent Meme is people. So, yeah, they use. Yeah, it uses illusions. Toriko uses illusions, and it's kind of gross because, like.
It's a lot better than reading the stuff from Naruto.
Oh yeah, but yeah, still, it's kind of like, oh my gosh, that's kind of terrifying looking.
It's a whole two page. It's a whole. It's like it fills 2 pages, and you're like, yeah, I should not be eating at all.
Yeah, and
Like, I'm not hungry anymore.
thank goodness I'm eating, drinking this diet shake.
I'm eating a banana, but it's okay. I'm eating a banana.
Indeed, let's see, and yeah, so it turns out there's only one. Soylent Meme.
The
And
entire
it turns out that he has a bunch of food that can be made from him. So they eat him. And I'm
Did they
like,
actually eat the soul of him, or did they just eat the stuff that came out of him?
I don't see the Soylent Meme around anymore. I think they ate him. Yeah. So let's go ahead, eat that human-looking thing. This is a
Like
little disturbing.
in Soviet, Toriko eats one noodle.
No, I'm pretty sure that happens in regular Toriko too.
That's true.
Yep,
Oh, that's right.
and of course we end the chapter with the return of the frog.
Who actually doesn't talk?
Yeah, he shows up in a car and he's all ribbit, ribbit, croak, croak, ribbit, ribbit, croak, ribbit, ribbit, croaker, croak, ribbit, croak, ribbit, ribbit. And he's like, "Who is this guy? It's a
And next chapter,
frog."
eat this guy too. Okay.
And Toriko's just like, that guy. Yeah, so I guess we gotta find out what the deal with this dude with this frog is. So, yeah.
Lose this time, hopefully. Well,
Yeah.
honey,
This
actually,
chap.
it was funny with Zebra. He was like, "Oh, I didn't do anything because I knew it'd be boring anyway." It's like he knew it was fake all the time. He was like, "What? Well, you didn't do anything at all? I knew it. Fucking illusion. Why do I want to bother?"
You could have mentioned that, you jerk.
Well,
And.
he is the resident jerk of the series.
Well, yeah. But yeah, I did. This chapter was good. I liked it.
Same.
Yeah, it was very much one of the. It was just a lot of fun. I mean, in general, the whole Toriko's illusion freaking out the Soylent Meme was kind of terrifying, but awesome.
I mean, when the illusion was introduced, that when he showed how he did it, but then when they showed it again, I was like, oh crap, this is actually good.
Yeah, definitely. So, yeah, I definitely enjoyed that. A lot of fun. And okay, let's see. See, go ahead and take a look. What's next? Ah, let's see. Seraph of the End, chapter 18. Okay. All right. To keep things simple, this is a let us establish the ship between person and person. Shinoa and
Shinoa,
you.
Shinoa.
Yeah. Shinoa and you. So.
Also, doesn't help that Gurren's shipping it while even intending to.
No, he's doing it pretty deliberately. And I did kind of like that little scene where he's like, "What's with you two? You're gonna go hold hands and skip off to make out?" And you can just kind of see in the background, Shinoa just yanking her hand away. And then we learn a little more about the demon powers and, possessing versus manifesting, etc. Which it seems like possessing would be a lot more useful because it gives you more power, while manifesting just means you don't have to hold the sword, the weapon all the time. So, yeah, I guess we'll kind of see. And we find out that apparently Gurren is possessed by Shinoa's sister. And we discover she got turned into a demon, creating the demon gear blade thingies. And
Person
so,
here.
yeah, the cursed gear stuff. And I don't know, yeah. Shinoa kind of annoys me a little bit this chapter just because she's doing that whole the whole, "Oh hey, I'm talking about serious stuff, but what still being all light-hearted and fanciful and stuff in the way my facial expressions work." And it's just like, I could do without that, but
Well, I guess he just has trouble showing emotion,
clearly,
I should say.
yeah. And so, yeah.
Hiragis and all, Hiragis. Oh yeah, we learned that the Hiragis were not raised knowing familial love, so I guess that might be the reason why.
Why they're all a bunch of jackasses,
Yeah,
apparently.
and yeah, why? And yeah, why did? And then when she tried to try to kill Gurren, it was because she didn't like how he was trying to use you, Ichiro.
Well, that wouldn't necessarily be familial love. Maybe she just wants to get boned. So, you
Yes,
know.
and she's been talking about him having a bone. Yeah.
Yeah,
But
pretty
yeah,
much.
but some backstory. We kind of learn how some of the adults, didn't we get learn how the adults survived in that thing? Like they
Yeah, they were vaccinated against the stuff.
And then those that survive somehow, and if they even they get vaccinated, if they met the four horsemen, they got killed.
Pretty much, yeah. So,
That's in the beginning.
not good times to be a human. But we do kind of find out that it's not really a actual apocalypse. It's more, just probably human created. So, but yeah. And then, yeah, we do get Gurren, who's all, "Yeah, I'm using you because you were an experiment," and Yu's all like, "Okay, cool, whatever. You still saved my life, so no matter what your motives, I'm still grateful there."
That's pretty devoted. It reminds me of some other character.
I do like that, just
Yeah.
because it's a different approach to what we normally see with these kinds of revelation. It's usually like, "Oh, I trusted you, but you betrayed me," etc., etc. So it's a nice,
I'm killing you.
yeah, it's a nice twist on that. So overall, I have to say, I kind of like this chapter.
I liked it a lot too.
Yeah, I mean, it was.
Because of the, but more because of the whole kind of getting to know about the how the possession manifestation thing works.
Yeah, that was interesting, and also there wasn't necessarily anything that really annoyed me, like the early parts of this series did. But at the same time, I'm still thinking this is not exactly good. It's still not yet a good manga, so we'll kind of have to see how
Because
things
for
play
you,
out.
it feels like you've seen everything. I've seen everything too, but I guess I haven't seen everything too.
Yeah.
Almost.
What you said. All right. Well, yeah. So that was that chapter. Let's go ahead and take a quick break, and we will be right back. All right. It's time for One Piece chapter 746, and starting with the cover page, which includes a cameo by Damn it, Mo. Starting with the cover page, which includes a cameo by Jamie Hyneman.
Who?
Dude from the MythBusters, the one with a big mustache.
Wait, so all the watches MythBusters? Wow.
No, I'm just saying the
Oh.
dude has a mustache that makes him look like a bit of a walrus.
Oh. Well, you know, all the. Oh, I don't know
Yeah,
anymore.
no, the actual picture is of Law with a walrus, and the walrus kind of reminds me of the one from Alice in Wonderland.
Wait. Oh man, I only watch the Disney cartoons. I don't remember any walrus at
There
all.
was a walrus in there. You know, the
Oh
one.
yeah, that guy. The guy who's like the old with the oyster and all that.
Yeah, like it terrified me as a kid.
Yeah, I was like, wait, he ate the
Oh
calf.
gosh, Disney, why? No, but yeah. All right, let's go ahead and talk about the actual chapter, which.
Unless it's your own kind.
Yeah, so you kind of get. Yeah, you kind of get a. Let's see, yeah, you've got people fighting each other, and let's see, what is it? Okay, yeah, it doesn't happen until a bit later, but you know, people start realizing, oh, hey, wait a minute, this reminds me of that time 10 years ago when King Riku went crazy and. Oh.
Oh, let's make. Oh, now I get it. I
Yep.
feel like such a dunce. Well, too.
Indeed. You bunch of jerks. You bunch of big
Oh, hey, look, the
dumpsters.
birdcage. You know what? You know, now we get to see how it actually looks. I mean, I know we got a good view the last time, but
Yeah, we get it's basically a dome
do you remember
around
that
the
we just
entire country.
covered One Piece volume, whatever the heck it was?
Well, of
You know,
course.
Skype? Yes. Ah.
Yeah, that yeah, like we mentioned, that is kind of very similar to that cage that Ohm uses. So yeah, it's kind of I think Oda likes what it
Trial
is.
iron and now trial string returned.
Yeah.
It was like, hey, I'm gonna get my dibs on this time, even
Yeah.
though I'm here.
Yeah, and I really love Bartolomeo's reactions. Just he's like, oh my gosh, it's he's like, oh my god, it's Miss Robin and Usopp. He's like, oh, and he's just going crazy. He's like the Enies Lobby heart shooting combo. And yeah, I like Savile's reaction. He's like, what are you excited about, you nerd? Like, oh, don't be a jock, Savile. Yeah, and let's see what else. Okay, and yeah, then we finally get to see how much everyone is worth. So they do it does it by a star system with, you know, one star is worth let's see, 100 million berries. So the ringleaders, Sabo, Luffy, Law, and King Riku are worth 300 million, while everyone else is worth either one star or two stars, like Kuros and Zoro.
Isn't Luffy already worth 300 million?
I think he's worth a little bit more than that, but yeah,
More than that
so
now, but yeah.
yeah, I can just what's Law's bounty? I think Law's bounty is just a little bit lower than Luffy's,
Yeah.
but yeah, I can't remember what Zoro's is. I think it's a little bit more than 200.
It's like 160 or something, 120, I
Well, I think
forget.
it's changed. I can't remember, but yeah, and then of course you've got the greatest moment in the chapter, the one that makes everything that's happened to Usopp worth it, where Doflamingo decides to take his revenge on Usopp. And oh yeah, before we mention that, you have that moment right before with Sabo where he's like, even me.
Like
He's like,
he gets his info fast. Even me.
Sorry, dang it, my mind just shut down. Sabo, that's it. Yes, dang it. Yeah, Sabo. You can just imagine him. He's like, what did I do? Yeah, and you've got Usopp. He's like, well, at least he doesn't know about me. And then Doflamingo puts a bounty of 500 million on Usopp's head. And it's just. He looks, it, just the picture that they use of him just makes him look so proud. And all the convicts are like, whoa, 500 million. And I just love Usopp's reaction is just a small panel. And
Even the Totantos, like somebody got really serious.
Yeah, the Totantos are sharing his reaction. It's amazing. Oh gosh, I need to blow that up and make that my wallpaper from now on. And then all the pirates are like turning on him immediately.
It reminds you of something, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you're fine.
Reminds me of what now?
We were talking about yesterday.
What?
Forget it.
Okay, fine. You know, you really shouldn't pull this stuff up if you're not willing to explain what the hell you're talking about. But anyway, let's see, what else do we have? Robin and, Zoro gets in touch with Robin, and Zoro is now with Luffy and the others there. And so they're kind of just, you know, making plans while Kuros is busy being a badass. And let's see other things of important note. Yeah, it looks like they're kind of in a bit of a crappy situation overall, because for one, Law points out that, hey, you know, the entire plan was to get Kaido pissed at Doflamingo and have him take Doflamingo down. But you know, if we take Doflamingo down ourselves and destroy the factory, he'll be pissed at us.
No, Luffy's gonna be, I'll kick his ass anyway.
Pretty much, yeah. So he's like, you know what, we'll talk about that later. For now, we have no choice but to go take care of everything, and we get another great scene with some panels of Zoro with his head vertical. Is it vertical?
Yeah. Vertical? Where?
No, I'm horizontal. I mean, it's just head just coming out of the side of the panel. And with just a completely regular sort of like expression, and Law in the exact same position with Luffy's arm around him, around his neck, and being all, oh, hey.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, wait, what's going on? And then you got them, Luffy jumping off the cliff.
I see it. Yeah. I didn't even know. I was like, wait, why are they sideways?
Yeah. Yeah, and then Zoro's just like, whatever. Just par for the course. And Law's like, wait, what's going on here? Ah!
Like, you'll get used to it if you ever join when you're with us.
Yeah. I love the line is like, wait, take my cuffs off first. It's like, they'll fall off eventually. No, they won't. this was a great chapter. I love this chapter. This chapter had some... You know, honestly, a lot of times what it takes for a One Piece chapter to be amazing is just that one moment, whether it's that one really funny moment or that one really epic moment. In this case, it was one really funny moment. And that just... Yeah. And that just makes everything all the more amazing.
Alright, I'll just point out, it's the whole... Remember we were talking about the whole Jesus thing?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that, yeah, you're right.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Should we talk about religion? You know, I don't give a crap.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, I was... Jeez, how did I forget that? I
have a bad... It's like, okay, you remember a couple of chapters ago, he was, like, held up, like, look, yeah, our savior.
Yeah, I remember that, yeah. Yeah, this is pretty much Usopp's entire little storyline here has basically been an analog for what happened to Jesus with... him, everyone being like, oh, he is the savior, and then at the first convenient opportunity being like, hey, we're turning on you now.
They all go do this on him.
Though Jesus did take the situation with a little more dignity than Usopp is. Just a wee bit. Alright, well, that was a great chapter. Let's move on to a different chapter. Chapter 675 of Naruto. Yeah.
I have family home, so I can't really scream.
Oh, that's good. And I don't feel like screaming. I honestly...
I already lost the... Yeah.
Yeah, this chapter is... No, no, no. Yeah, you pointed out yesterday that Madara basically pulled an Aizen with the whole, "Everything that happened was according to my design." "Your friends on the forest moon of Endor are walking into a trap. I mean, what the crap happened here? Where am I? Lord Vader?" It's like, "Ah, crap, I'm in a different universe again. Son of a bear." Okay, yeah, so turns out that, yeah, Madara using something I'd never even heard about, some kind of seal that he'd put on.
Curse seal tag.
Yeah, that he put on Obito's heart. Turns out he put one on Rin as well, and that's why she let herself get impaled by Kakashi, which, again, that's an awful thing to do to a friend. And I'm not talking about Kakashi killing her. I'm talking about the fact that she used the opportunity to have him kill her. That's kind of a awful thing to do. Just saying.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so. Also, in this chapter, if anyone needs any particular reason to see why we are a little bit on the pissed side, turns out that Naruto is uses his newfound powers to heal Kakashi's eye. By which I mean, he heals his eye back to its regular form, not the form that had the Sharingan in it. And he does this while Sakura is there, doing her medical jutsu stuff. And I'm just reading this and thinking, well, you just made her completely useless.
Sakura is not obsolete. She does not exist anymore.
Oh, she does exist, and more is the pity, because she is the one thing that she was better at than either Naruto or Sasuke, and now Naruto can do it better. If you do
well,
not
Sasuke
see
does
why,
too.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, if you do not see why this is a problem, then you need to take a class in writing. Because I'm pretty sure your writing teacher, after this point, will use this chapter as an example of what not to frickin' do to your characters. Make them completely worthless by giving another character the one damn thing they do better than anyone else.
Yep.
I mean, why is she even here anymore? And then we find out that Kakashi goes like, "Oh, hey, you..." It's like, you know, your feelings for Sasuke have changed, but you love him on a completely different level, and it's completely, I don't know, it's cryptic bullshit is basically what it is. Because it's sort of like, wait, are you talking about she loves him on a more mature level, or she loves him more like a friend now? I mean, what do you mean by different level? And yeah, and I just have to say, I have never been a fan of Sakura ending up with Sasuke, mostly because when I was reading this series for the first time and knew how much people were into that ship, I kept reading it and thinking, Sasuke is an unbalanced little psychopath. Every yeah. time she is with him, he is either doing something physically or emotionally abusive to her. Anyone that supports this ship is a fucking lunatic. I'm just going to come out and say it. And if Kishimoto actually goes that route, not because I'm saying, oh, she should end up with Naruto or anything. No, I'm going to be completely pissed because it would just show how completely inept Kishimoto is at writing romance if he thinks this is actually something not completely disturbing and terrifying. I'll just put it that way. I don't know. We're getting close to the end, so fortunately we won't have to deal with this bullshit anymore for much longer.
I'm assuming that since it's the whole different level, I'm assuming it's more family level. Mm. Because, you know, Shonen is family. Oh, romance? It's not about romance. Why you put romance in the first place then?
Yeah, no. I mean, if that is what it is, that will be preferable, because I will never, ever, 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 and nobody will ever, ever, ever convince me of this, think that that pairing is a good idea. It's
nope.
just, and
never.
I do not understand this obsession with manga fans to pair together two characters that have, the only thing they have ever done for each other, or the only thing that one of them has ever done for the other, is be freaking abusive, and that's it. Like, you know, I mean, it even mentions, is like, he tried to take your life, but you still care for him, and I'm just like, why are you trying to act like this is an admirable thing? This is not an admirable thing. This is Stockholm Syndrome, or something. Somehow Sakura is so useless, she got Stockholm Syndrome when she wasn't even around the guy that gave it to her. That's just ridiculous. I mean, honestly, there's a certain level where if someone tries to kill you, nothing else matters except never having anything to do with them again. It doesn't matter if they reform, because they were at that point where they were willing to kill you. So, you know what? The smart thing to do is to have absolutely nothing to do with them. And the fact that Kishimoto is trying to pull off the whole, oh no, it's admirable that she still loves
him. She can forgive him despite all the crap he's done to her. I'm like, bullshit.
Yeah, this is a fucking abusive relationship. It climaxed in him trying to murder her.
Gosh, I wonder what Kishimoto's relationship actually like with his wife.
I don't know.
If he only says his daughter. I don't know if he says he has a wife or anything.
I don't know. I'd assume so, but who knows. But nonetheless, this is... If those two do end up together, that will be the deciding factor in whether this series was worth it. Because if they end up together, then that will mean we just spent years reading a series by an author that doesn't even understand the fact that he was writing an abusive relationship. So
I feel terrible for the people who started from the very beginning. 1999.
Yeah.
Yeah, 1999. I started reading this in 2008.
That's about the time I started reading it. I mean, I'd known about it, but I started reading it all the way through then. So it's been, 6 years for us, I guess.
Like about five days-ish to catch up first, and then after every 10 minutes for a new chapter. So, Ishimo, if you do that, I'm not going to be happy.
I'm
going to write you a letter that says, you need to take lessons
and you
again
need to speak faster
in plot.
It's not even plot, it's character. That's the problem.
Character.
Yeah, it's, you know, I mean, that's the big problem that this series has always had, and it's going to end terribly because Kishimoto has not fixed it. Sasuke is the absolute worst character.
He hasn't done anything at all that was useful.
No, he has, but he hasn't done it in ways that were satisfying.
Oh, okay.
You know, I mean, every single power-up, I mean, we're pissed that Naruto got a random power-up without doing anything for it, but every power-up Sasuke has had has not been earned. We have never seen why he gets it. There is nothing compelling about this character. I mean, the whole, his story arc is complete bullshit. It's just, you don't have a character, I mean, you can have a character where their whole thing is they just learn things fast and the point of their character is different than the point of the main character, whose point is to, you know, learn things the hard way. But it's just, I mean, it's unsatisfying to have a character that you read about where they learn everything, they get everything thrown at them, and the stuff that they go through does not make up for the stuff that the author decides to give them. I mean, it just makes them look like a whiny little bastard. And Sasuke was exactly that. He's a fucking one-note character, and all he ever does is go on about revenge, and he just changes the direction. I mean, he's meant to have this whole, oh, hey, I am all about revenge, and then, oh, I discovered this thing, this very important information. Does it change my character? Fucking no. It just means I have a different target. He never changed. Absolutely nothing about his character changed or developed. And then having that development be at the very end with just the reveal of the creation of Konoha Village was a complete asspull. And then suddenly he's like, I'm good, but at the same time, you're just like, No, he hasn't even changed. Even after fucking this, he is still going on about, oh, I must have revenge, but this time I'm having revenge against the people that actually deserve it. And I'm just, you have been writing the exact same character for more than a decade. For like 15 years, this character has not changed, and I don't see how anyone can see this as anything but the shittiest example of writing in existence. I fucking hate this manga, and I'm probably gonna hate the way it ends. You know what? By this point, this manga has pissed me off so much that even if it ends with everything I was hoping for when I started reading this train wreck, even if that happens, I am still going to say this is the shittiest manga I ever spent any time of my life reading. Worse than Bleach. Nothing Bleach has done has ever been this bad. Bleach has just gotten boring. Naruto is actually ineptly written and just a piece of shit. Okay, let's move on.
Yet somehow the people in the fans in the United States like it more than One Piece and Bleach. I don't understand.
Well, the fans in the United States are idiots. As far as I'm concerned.
The majority of them, not all of us.
Well, yeah. But, yeah, I honestly do not see how anyone can like this piece of shit. And, I mean, I'm convinced that even the editors that talk about how at Viz, that talk about how great it is, I'm pretty sure they're paid a bonus for lying through their teeth about this bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. That was your angry rant for the... Whatever, I don't know, we haven't had
it. Here's my say, I am never buying any manga volume, digital or print of this. Yeah. Ever.
It already stings that we have to pay to... that we're indirectly paying for it by buying the magazine.
Yeah.
But fortunately, other series make up for it, but nonetheless. I've half a mind to just any of the volumes that I have. I've half a mind to sell. It's kind of getting to the point where I don't think I'll be able to enjoy the first half before the time skip, or even the part of the time skip leading up to the bullshit that ended up what this manga became. You know, because this is pretty awful. I mean, it's written by an author that doesn't understand that how to write characters, that has had a character that was a complete one-note piece of shit the entire 15-year run, and another character who was completely useless. And I was one of the ones that hated when people were saying how useless Sakura was, because like, oh, she's fine, she gets development and everything, and she did, and then it was all negated by one simple power-up to the main character, who was the most tolerable among this party of morons. But then suddenly he gets one of his random power-ups, and I'm just like, well, that was the straw that broke the camel's back. I hated it when it happened to Sasuke, and now it happened to the one character that had to learn how to gain his abilities, suddenly just gets a power-up because of some bullshit Deus Ex Machina that just shows up randomly and says, you are the reincarnation of this character that nobody knew about, that nobody in 15 fucking years ever heard about. Ever.
Yeah.
That is the worst writing I have ever seen, even taking into account the fact that this is a serialized piece of work and that Kishimoto can't, well, go back 15 years and add in, oh, by the way, there was this sage, and oh, by the way, he had two sons, oh, by the way, reincarnation is a fucking thing in this world. We didn't even know reincarnation existed until 3, 4, whatever the hell it was, chapters ago. That is bad writing. That is absolutely the worst writing. There is no excuse. You make the climax of a 15-year-long story hinges around a very concept that did not exist in the series until barely a month ago. How does anyone like this manga? This is the worst written piece of garbage I have ever read. That's not true. I've read a much worse. But those usually involve disgusting incestuous relationships and fucking rape everywhere. Taking those out of account by pure writing, this is the biggest bullshit I have ever seen in my life. How is anyone liking this? How is anyone excited by this climax? How is anyone not realizing that this is the biggest ass grab, ass pull, I mean, of the entire catalog in this magazine? No, seriously, let's move on.
I think someone should really write an essay about this. Yes, I suggest someone writes an essay about this, explaining why is it that Naruto is so popular and why is Sasuke still not even why.
I said let's move on.
Yes, let's
not
move on.
I did not say something that will start me into another rant.
Okay,
we're going to
moving on. One Punch Man bonus chapter.
Yeah, it was all right.
Yeah.
I mean, it was funny at the end where it's like, oh, hey, you're the only one left. It's like, I'm your top pupil, even though he sucks. And I'm just thinking, that's...
Actually, when I saw him, I thought it was Saitama for some reason. I'm like, wait, what the... Maybe it's just because of the face.
Yeah, I don't know.
You make him lose all his hair, he'll be bald and look like a
somewhat
less pissed off Saitama.
A little bit,
less unamused one.
Yeah, I don't know. I completely forgot this character existed, but it was funny.
Yeah, well, there's a reason why all the disciples are gone. That's going to come up later on.
Yeah, and, oh, hey, speaking about things that piss me off, Bleach, chapter, well, another thing that pisses me off, chapter 570 fucking 9.
This has been happening for a long time, even before. It's just that Kubo went back to this, and we just didn't pay attention until we realized Bleach was getting boring. And now we're like, oh, great, not even the title is just being stupid. It's been like this the whole time.
Well, yes, it has. But, yeah, so, yeah, okay, here, this is, I mean, I've praised this fight for being complete stupidity, but this ending is bullshit. I'm just going to say. Because, so it turns out that, Gremmy. That's it, yeah. Turns out that Gremmy wasn't killed by Ozono imagination. He imagined Kenpachi's power perfectly. The only thing he couldn't imagine was that his own body was the only thing that could withstand that power. That is bullshit, because his power is the power of imagination. Nothing should be able to beat him. Nothing. He has the power to imagine anything. So why is the thing that beats him, the fact that he is unable to imagine that he needs to have a body that can withstand Kenpachi's power? That's bullshit.
Maybe he was focusing on Kenpachi's power. He wasn't able to focus on the other part where the body to withstand it. I don't know.
It's a stupid ending to a stupid concept. And I mean, it was a glorious concept if you take it as a parody of, like, you know, online role-playing behavior. But for a actual manga that's meant to be taken seriously, this was the worst idea Kubo has ever had.
You know? And to Shane, this is going to be the last battle for Kenpachi.
Probably. But, you know, I mean, you know, it's just, there was no good way to end this. And yet for the end to be, oh, I did not imagine hard, I imagined too hard and not hard enough at the same time, is stupid.
He thought too hard, and therefore he died.
He's like, I was thinking too hard, but at the same time, I didn't think hard enough.
Renee Descartes, that's not how you do it, you moron.
Yeah, it's sort of like, I mean, honestly, what was stopping him from imagining Kenpachi dead?
You know, like, I imagine you dead. Oh,
I mean, yeah, you know, I mean, we didn't know what his limits were. Is he done for because that was his limit? That was never explained. Why didn't he just imagine Kenpachi was dead? Also, why is he a brain in a jar?
I don't know. Is it kind of like Ari and Nero with his freaking head face?
A little bit, yeah. I think that's what it is. Yeah, but you know, his body was just his imagination, and I guess it's the brain is dead now. But interesting, yeah, interesting fact. Then one thing that I do find interesting is
his brain exploded from sheer unable to imagine himself being stronger or something.
That was silly. Yeah. I do find it interesting when Kenpachi discovers that he discovers her uniform lying on the ground, abandoned, and we're sort of thinking, uh-oh, what happened here?
I don't know.
Is like, hey, find her, and they're like, no, we can't sense her. Where is, you know, if you can't find her, why would we be able to find her? And so we're kind of thinking, oh, geez, what happened? Did her body dissolve? Or, I don't know, my actual first thought was, this is going to be a Nell situation, isn't it?
Yeah, I get the feeling it probably is.
Yeah, so, I don't know.
And then she's going to show them fight those girls that appear at the very end.
I wouldn't be surprised, but it would be interesting if Kubo does actually go the route of something happened that dissolved her body, or that, maybe Gremy, the reason he died was because he was busy imagining Yachiro being dead.
Probably.
Yeah, and then he gets, yeah, and then all the guys from the 11th squad, man, I've forgotten the squad numbers. So
11.
much time spent focused on these stupid soul reapers, and then it used to be that they were constantly being that we were constantly focusing on the numbers, but suddenly it's no numbers. What happened? No, they yeah, and yeah, so they all get lightninged by Bambietta's cohorts.
Fuzzies.
Yeah, let's call them cohorts, okay?
Okay, of course. Okay, what do you think about the design? I mean, I actually saw the design earlier, but the blonde one on the very far right.
That's a little excessive, but what the
Yes, what
hell?
the heck is she wearing? I mean, is that even is that even practical?
Well, maybe.
I can't even
It
tell.
depends on what you're planning to do. But let's just say that the practicality of her outfit is not exactly directly correlating to what she will actually be doing in the manga. Probably would be a little more useful in what Bambietta was doing right before that one scene where she cut that guy in half.
Oh yeah,
Yeah.
that.
Although I am moderately curious to see what happens to to see what happened to Bambietta, whether they
Yeah.
absorbed her or what exactly. I don't know. My theory is they turned into some kind of zombie doll thing. Or
Probably that maybe they merged like that one with the,
they
when
don't.
they.
Yeah, they don't look like they merged.
Oh, you get me.
No, so I don't know. Anyway, I guess that will be interesting. Fan service galore, thanks to at least two of these four characters, one of which wears very revealing clothes, and one of which is built like Orihime or Matsumoto. So,
The other
yeah.
two are, yeah, whatever.
One's flat-chested, one's a lolly. Yes. Let us not speak of that. But yeah.
Let's move on to
Yes, World Trigger chapter, don't you do this to me, chapter 59. So,
part invasion, part nine. So, wow, nine chapters of this already.
well, probably more than that, because
Oh, 10, sorry, 10, because it's
they don't always say, they don't always have the same chapter name and numbers
true.
in the same storyline, but yeah. So basically it's, hey, we're gonna use our smarts to fight this guy, and oh, he's so powerful. Ha, we used our smarts to score a hit on this guy. Ha. It was fun. I liked it. I really
Yeah.
like the way the fights are working here. The idea of people that are skilled fighting people that are just far more powerful than them is a lot of fun. And that's kind of what this entire war is based around, and I'm a big fan of that. So, I don't have any complaints for this chapter. I mean, I really like this. I wouldn't have thought that this would have been one of the series that I would like a hundred
Reminds me of
times more
Boss
than
Rage
freaking
on Saga.
Naruto. Sorry, what does it
Freaking like
remind?
16. It reminds me of this online game I play called Lost Saga, where the one of the most called Boss Raid, and one of the players can turn really big, and they're the boss, and everyone has to focus their attack on them. And the boss can like knock them out easily in like one or two hits, and they get ringed down, and they get KO'd. So it's like, ridiculously overpowered, like a
Yeah.
boss.
Yeah, that is, this is kind of, this is a lot like a, like an RPG boss kind of fight situation.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely a lot of fun. All right, let's move on. Let's see, we've got Stealth Symphony, Chapter 11, which, where my, my theory that the mermaid will, because of her tragic past, will turn out to be an ally. Was of course wrong, as
Yeah.
she's one of the assassins is there and ends up taking her to a different universe where she will never die. She'll just be basically according to what it according to what it looks like, she'll basically be just constantly torn to shreds, because you get a pretty graphic scene of her arm being just completely snapped in half, only hanging on by a couple threads.
Oh, I see it.
Which, yeah, I have to say that's a very cruel thing to do with to a character whose boobs are all over the place, Because the reader will have conflicting emotions of, oh, that's nasty, and, oh, boobies. Then look, then eyes wander slightly to the side, is like, oh, that's nasty. And, yeah, she ends up getting pulled into this hole by these skeletal arms that are...
They didn't even bother removing the dragon heirloom on her.
Yeah, which is kind of odd. But yeah, she's... Yeah, the way she's being grabbed is a little, it's a little uncomfortable. Let's move on, shall we?
Yeah.
Yeah, where it turns out that the assassins had basically been hired to take down the human trafficking corporation. And we also discover that the police took the opportunity, and the police... Speaking of practical uniforms, this woman does not wear a practical uniform for a police officer.
That's clearly not. Clearly from something I've seen many times in other things.
Yeah, let's just say it's no coincidence that she's carrying a riding crop and she's dressed the way she is. I'm just saying.
I guess you carry a baton, and tonfas are cool.
Yeah, or nightstick, as they're called.
Don't call them nightstick, they're called tonfas.
They're called nightsticks when they're used by the police.
They're called tonfas, really?
No, they're not. Not when they're used by the police. They have their own name for it. They're also a little different. But anyway. Yeah, so that's a lot of leg and a lot of cleavage for a police chief. And make Batman, like, 50 times better.
Well, what?
No, I'm just saying, you know, if the police chief that Batman had to dress like this one, I'd be like, hey, you guys abandoned all sense of dignity. Also, why did you not change the police chief? Why is it still Jim Gordon? Please change him back into his regular outfit. I don't know what I'm saying.
I don't know what you're saying, but okay.
Yeah, so, yeah, we kind of, yeah, everyone... Basically, it's sort of like the aftermath of everyone's like, oh, good job, yay, the slaves are free. And then we end the chapter discovering that apparently Jig killed 28 people in his own village. So if it's going to turn out that that Jig is actually evil or something like that, that would be freaking genius.
That would be awesome, actually.
Yeah, it's like it turns out that would be possibly one of the best twists in existence, you know?
Especially since Choma is the main character and he's, you know, he's put so much trust in helping Jig and all, and Jig's like, ah, I played you guys for fools.
Yeah, not only that, but I mean, one of the questions is, you know, like, you know, the, you know, they do the whole, the orphanage director, you know, he's like, you know, he sent him away to be killed and you're sort of like, oh, what an awful person, but wait, why did he have to send him away to get killed? And why did he hire this one guy? And, you know, and you just kind of have to wonder, like, oh, what's going on here? Why did he not just kill him in his own village and just take the wings there? Or, you know, and I just think it would be really ingenious if it turns out that Jig is actually, like, legitimately evil and cruel or whatnot, and it turns out that the orphanage director is actually a good guy trying to save everyone else in the village. That's why he was sent away to a place where he could possibly survive. And so you just kind of have to wonder, it's like, oh, this is quite interesting. Because, I mean, in the beginning of the story, we knew that he'd hurt people defending him when his, you know, the wings defended himself. So you just kind of have to think, that would be... absolutely brilliant. It probably isn't going to be the case, but it would be amazing.
But with the last 2 pages, he was crying, so I can't even tell that.
Yeah. He might just be a really good actor. You know, this would be...
But you were crying that time. Oh, no, I practiced that a lot. Don't worry. I got really good at it.
Yeah, this would be up there this would be up there, and as much as I hate this series that I'm about to mention, with that twist with in Air Gear, yeah. But even better, because it would be earlier and we wouldn't see it coming. I highly support this concept. But
otherwise, the series will just end because it's got bad ranking so far.
Yeah. But, yep, so let's talk about Blue Exorcist Chapter 57. Also, I just want to start off by mentioning that you've got Yukio thinking, you know, I just have to fight. It's like Shiemi is a girl and Miwa and Suguro want to be Arya, so they could have trouble in single combat. We have to help them. And I'm just looking at that and I'm thinking, why is it that sometimes some of the most sexist pieces of dialogue are written by women? I mean, I'm just saying, the author of this manga is a woman, and yet she's the one that said, oh, Shiemi couldn't possibly fight because she is a girl, which makes no sense because Shura can fight. She's also a girl. The way she's designed makes that very clear. So I'm just thinking that is an oddly sexist remark coming from someone who is being sexist, who is of the same gender as the character that is being sexisted towards.
Well, this is called Negumaru saying it, so I don't know.
No, I think it's
Yukio.
No, yeah, it's Yukio saying it. So as if we needed another reason to hate Yukio. Turns out he's actually a closet sexist as well. Congratulations. He's slowly working his way towards Sasuke levels here.
Oh boy.
But ignoring that pretty awful, horrible bit of line there, let's talk about the actual fights.
It's not an ordinary zombie that Konakamaru fights.
It's like a Christmas tree zombie.
Destroying his brain stem doesn't work. It is no ordinary zombie. It's a true immortal. I'm like,
yeah, it's like, kid, you may need to spend more time in regular classes and less time in exorcist classes if you think that the brainstem is in the hand. I'm pretty sure he's referring to the fact that he's assuming that it wouldn't work on this zombie because it didn't work on that one zombie. But still, it is kind of amusing that he'd say that right after attacking the hand.
So. I thought the brain was in the hand, you idiot!
Yeah, and then he almost gets eaten, and if this were Attack on Titan, he would be a goner.
But yep.
Nope, this is a shonen, so... well, it's also a shonen, but it's not Attack on Titan, so...
Yeah. Attack on Titan doesn't have anything that seems seinen, you know, like that we've seen other seinen.
Yeah, true. But, yeah, so...
I guess people like it so much.
Probably, yeah. So Konekamaru manages to escape by climbing through this wall that he tricks the zombie into making. And then Kuro shows up, and I start to think, I too would like a cat that could turn into a giant cat, bigger than a frickin' tiger. That would be a very useful pet to have. Actually, that would be the greatest pet. That's the pet that I want. Get me a cat that can do that. Yeah. But as much as I disliked, Yukio's sexist moment earlier, I do like the way his fight ends, where he's basically, yeah, they keep, you know, they have enhanced regeneration and it fuses with materials, so you know what, I just kept shooting it at the ground so that it fused itself to the ground. I was thinking, that's ingenious. That's a great way to end that. But let's see what else, and yeah. I like the ending of the chapter where it's basically Suguro's like, yeah, I may be training to be an Arya, but I'm the one with a bazooka. So, screw you.
I'm going to use this, finally.
He's
like, he really is going to use it, isn't he?
Yeah, he's probably going to kill himself in that enclosed space, but still. Yeah, pretty much. If you're going against supernatural creatures, you pretty much want exactly what he has. So, that's pretty awesome. all right. Let's see, did we have anything else? I think, yeah, that's it. That does it for the, weekly Shonen Jump chapters. Let's take a quick break, and we'll go on and finish the chapters for the non-official chapters for weekly Shonen Jump, and we will also be going over double chapters for the Kodansha, and also we'll be going over Attack on Titan for this month. So, we'll see you all there. Alright, it's time for Assassination Classroom, chapter 87.
Yeah, 87.
Let's see, this one was like 3 weeks ago.
This is actually good. I liked it because, you know, how first I wasn't so keen about Itona, but I guess Itona just wasn't likable because of,
well, there was nothing to him, you know?
Yes, at the time.
And they kind of explain that by saying, yeah, hey, the tentacles were taking up all his brain power, so he couldn't really be anything but, like, an emotionless blur.
Can't say words. Must kill. No,
stop that.
Okay.
That's irritating. Stop it. Yeah, but yeah, this chapter, what I liked about it. Yeah, what I liked about this chapter was how, you know, it was a bit of a, you know, we get the backstory for Itona. We get to see his, you know, how his dad's company went under and everything. And we also get to, get to know Terasaka's group a little better.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know one of them was a woman, girl.
You hadn't
I didn't
noticed?
Pay attention.
Oh, jeez. She's been there quite a few times.
But... I know, I just didn't really notice as well. I thought, was like, is that a guy, or was she, I can't, I probably didn't see she was in the Squirtle.
Yeah. But yeah, it, but yeah, so, in the end, it kind of ends with, you know, Itona not having the tentacles anymore.
Yay. So,
because Terasaka was like, manly speech, punch to the head.
Yeah.
It was like, problem solved. And so, yeah, they're able to get, yeah, they're able to remove them, and of course it's Kuro-sensei that gets them out using his powers and whatever. And
all
so,
you gotta do is have fun, is just do stupid stuff like us every day. I mean, Terasaka yeah. said that, not us.
Yep, and Itona, yeah, now he is a regular student and part of the class, so his story is pretty much, well... I don't know. I wouldn't say his story is over, but at the same time, he's kind of, you know, he'll probably just become another one of the background characters.
Like, what's his name? Before we find out what his name was.
You mean all of them?
No, the one that was supposedly like a maid to all of them.
Oh yeah.
I forgot his name already. Wow, such a team.
I don't know.
The guy that was trying to please his family, you know.
Oh, right, him.
I don't know. Nagisa, Karma, Kayano, the other guy.
I can't remember.
The other girl.
We're
serious, that's actually good. I cannot remember all the students compared to freaking Maho Sensei Negima. I can't remember all of them.
I can't remember any of the students from Maho Sensei Negima, so. Yeah,
except
but.
The main,
yeah, this was a good chapter, I thought. This was actually really good. It was, you know, finishing up a story arc that I was not a fan of. So, on the one hand, it is kind of nice to see that that's been taken care of and we won't have to worry about it anymore.
Shitty noodle. Like, he stays bad. And like, I'll pay you back. It's like, I'll hold all my vomit. So I'll eat the noodles, okay? I'm like, so at least I'll pay you a vomit. What's his name?
Indeed.
Hold on, what the heck?
Eh. All right, let's go ahead and move on to Shokugeki no Soma chapter 68.
Well, speaking of food.
Yes, speaking of food indeed. Yeah. So it's, yeah, so ramen, they kind of basically go through and show, oh, hey, look at what these guys are doing. You know, they're each, you know, making their different broths. Like, it turns out they're both making seafood-based ramen, except while the one has... what's his face is using a rich broth.
Yep.
Kuroki, that's it, yeah.
Kurokiba.
Oh, Kurokiba? Okay. Yeah, Megumi is making a lighter, you know, a much lighter broth. And so you kind of, the majority of the chapter is them sort of, you know, sort of putting their stuff together, her experimenting in the past, and she's using ingredients from her home that her mom sent, and it's like, you know, we have a lot of like scallops and seafood in her stuff as well. So, you know, basically she's using a very light soup while he's using a very rich soup, and yeah, it's kind of like the fight between the opposites and everything. And yeah, it's just a lot of fun to watch this because it's just absolutely ridiculous how over the top it can get here, especially with when he's smashing the shells.
He's smashing the shell. What are you doing? Like,
yeah.
I don't know.
Like all the lobster and the shrimp and everything, and he just uses cleaver and just pulverizes them. And yeah, let's see. Oh yeah, we also get a little bit of a flashback leading up to Alice meeting him for the first time, And I enjoyed that. I think I like that part the most out of the chapter, just because it was entertaining just seeing her sort of like carelessly walking around. You know, she's like, oh, hey, I want to go try out this restaurant that everyone's talking about. And it turns out that he is exactly like Soma. He's a he's a cook as a kid, and he's actually in charge of
the... And he dressed a similar way like Soma did.
Yeah.
Maybe
it's kind of like, how very interesting the similarities. Could there be a relationship?
You're pretty sure what thing you've been doing. I woo the ladies, and somehow I have kids I don't know about.
Yeah, that would actually be funny if it turns out they're brothers. Like, really, actually really, really funny.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. And, yeah, so that was that chapter. I really liked it. It's a little hard to talk about a lot of the...
You're the cook. How would you not know, be able to talk about it?
I mean, just in general, it's, you know...
Yeah.
It's like talking about a chapter that's just a fight. You know, it was a fight. Was it a good fight? Yeah, was it? But at the same time, it's not like there's a depth of literary depth or depth of literary deepness to really draw much from here.
Well, the funny thing is that with the title Port City Match in quotes, it kind of insinuates that, you know, I think sometimes during the chapter that they mentioned that Ryo was actually from a port city as well, like Megumi was. So that's why they kind of have the same dish in mind in a way. So it's kind of like you said, it's like a battle of opposites.
Yeah, definitely. Although once again, I think
similar opposite. Yeah. There you go.
Although it is once again kind of funny how they're talking about how it's like, oh, this flashback is in a northern port city in Europe, and yet at the same time you're just like, okay, it's kind of odd that out of all the people in a city in Europe, she happens to find the one cooking genius who also happens to be Japanese.
Yep, Joey Kiro.
Where I'm just thinking... Yeah, I'm just thinking, what exactly is this manga trying to say? I mean, is this something that we need to read into? Or is it saying, oh, only Japanese people are good at cooking? Which, if it is, then no. I beg to frickin' differ.
All you guys, all Japanese men, they focus on seafood. They eat seafood and... Seafood.
Well, yeah, you want to know.
They live by the sea, for heaven's sake.
Yeah, you want to know who else focuses on seafood and eats a lot of seafood? Freaking Northern Europeans.
Oh.
They live by the sea. I'm pretty sure they know how to cook freaking seafood. I'm just saying. But, but the point being. I doubt it's meant to be something, a statement.
But the Japanese are surrounded by the sea all over. That's the difference.
You do realize that Denmark is basically a bunch of islands, right?
I didn't know that at all until now.
It's islands. And Norway, the only part of it that is not surrounded by the ocean is surrounded by Sweden. And Sweden, the only part of it that's not surrounded by Norway, is surrounded by the ocean and Finland.
Oh, holy crap. Copenhagen.
Yes.
Wow.
But nonetheless, I don't think it's meant to be something as, you know, I don't think really actually think it's meant to be, oh, only Japanese people can cook. That's why she randomly found the one child genius in Northern Europe who also happens to be Japanese. Oh. I think it's more meant, I'm pretty sure it has more to do with the fact that the audience is probably just more comfortable with a Japanese character than a foreign character because that's what they're more familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
Or I don't know. Otherwise, it just, you know, it seems kind of odd. It'd be like, it'd be like if an American were writing a story and the story takes him to, you know, a random place like in the middle
India.
Of like the jungle. India. Yeah, in the middle of like the jungle or India or the middle of like the Middle East or whatnot. And the only other main character that he runs into happens to be another American. And oh, wait, we do that all the time.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, that being said, yeah, the whole odd as it is, one cannot complain just because we do that all the freaking time too. So, yeah. All right. But, yeah, other than that, let's go ahead and move on.
It was a good chapter, and I'm sorry for being ignorant about that. I didn't know Denmark had some islands. I didn't know both of some islands. Holy crap.
Denmark is islands, for the most part. And, I mean, you've got Iceland, Greenland. They're islands.
They're islands. Denmark did not say island in there anywhere. I couldn't tell.
Look at the freaking map.
I just did. I saw a peninsula. Yeah. It's mostly islands, not entirely island.
Yeah, for the most part, islands. But anyway, it's time for us to talk about a lot of fairy tale.
Just two.
Yeah. Mostly because, yeah, we when we took, for some reason, we didn't have any fairy tale to talk about last episode because I guess Kodansha takes their break a week earlier, or the way their schedule works means that they don't have any episodes, any chapters the week before Shueisha does the same. So
it's a good idea either because it's clever because they don't have to deal with too much competition.
Right, yeah. Cause,
at least for a week.
Yeah, I mean, last week, yeah, so last episode we didn't have any fairy tale. There was a new chapter last week, so we will be dealing with that. We'll be talking about this week's chapter and the previous week's chapter. And starting off, I really like this color page for a fairy tale.
Which one?
The one with the Snow White.
Chapter 382, Allegria.
Exactly, yeah. And I thought that's, you know, it's kind of fun. They've got, it's, yeah, they have, yeah, they only have two of them actually have the names from the actual dwarves. Happy, haha, and Bashful. But then you've got Tricky, Nudie,
Gigolo.
Gigolo, Smarty, and Moody. And of course, Gigolo. You're just like, okay, hands off of the skirt, buddy. But yeah, it is amusing. All right, let's talk about the actual chapter. So. Yeah. Let's just say that Mashima's obsession with torture porn is getting a little disturbing now, as Kyoka is now being tortured by the tentacles of Mardir. Which
you kinda get to see a bit of her face this time though.
Yeah, we do. And also I don't know, this chapter had a bit of a weird disconnect for me because the first scene we see Natsu and Lucy, we see Lucy tying up her top, and I was just thinking, wait, when did that get ripped? But then I remembered, oh, right, the previous chapter. But
I stopped paying attention.
Yeah, it happens so often, I've stopped paying attention, yeah. But
like I said, let's keep a tally on that.
Yeah, tally. I think her top is keeping a tally in X marks. So, like, this is how many times? No, not even close. But, yeah, so they basically say, hey, we need to release the light, and Makarov is like, wait, Lumen Histoire? What the heck? And then Mardgear breaks into their telepathy and transforms the island thingy they are on into a, I don't know, into, like, a giant monster thing, and all of fairy tale except for Lucy ends up getting absorbed into it. So you're just kind of thinking, what's this all about? And let's see. Yeah, so, I don't know. This chapter is a bit weird because we sort of get introduced to the new main bad guy. But, you know, at the same time, I'm kind of thinking, oh, hey, look, once again, the actual bad guy turns out to be someone that hadn't been introduced yet. Yeah. Was okay then. That's kind of
why this guy,
Mardgear.
Oh yeah, he was just introduced in the last chapter.
Yeah, so it's I don't know.
The chapter before. Wait, what? 384. There you go.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know why Mashima keeps doing that, but whatever. This chapter was okay. I mean, it sort of, you know, sets up the whole, oh, hey, Fairy Tail is in trouble. Oh, no. So, you know, I'm kind of, you know, we know that they're going to get out of it no problem. So, at the same time, it's kind of hard to take it seriously.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, let's move on to the next chapter, chapter 83, that's what I said. Wave Rider Lucy. And, yeah, for the most part, it's basically the thingy destroys the giant monster thing that the island land square turned into a monster and is destroying the city. And so they're proceeding with face operation now that all the intruders have been taken care of. And the rest of the chapter is basically Lucy fighting against some of the remaining Tartarus demon people. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, let's see. I'm just rereading some of the pages here because at the time when I was reading it on Tuesday, not all the pages had loaded. So they're basically like, hey, everyone, you should take out this human and you'll get promoted or whatnot. And Lucy basically surfs her way out of it because there's water everywhere and she manages to get a piece of wood and just surf, which is kind of cool. And this is not exactly very riveting, but I kind of ended up finally being able to see these pages again and see what's going on, but yeah. Oh, there we go. Okay, I'm back. And yeah, so after she fights the guards, she fights the Nine Sins or whatever their names are, the actual demons. And they, yeah, basically they fight. And Lucy keeps releasing new spirits, even going so far as to release Aquarius because she is outnumbered by the demon people once Jackal shows up. And she tries to fight him on her own, but she's like, oh, wait, no, that's not working. All right, then, because he can blow stuff up. So, you know what? Fine, I'll summon my third spirit, even though that shouldn't be possible. So, yeah, that's kind of where it ends, with her summoning Aquarius, and Aquarius saying, he's like, what a stupid little girl. And then that's it. So, yeah, Lucy is pretty much out of it. I'm not sure how they're all able to stick around, but okay. And, yeah, so that was that chapter. It was...
I'm going to assume Gildar's going to probably appear at some point.
Good point. Probably. I don't know. Yeah, I imagine...
But then again, Laxus kind of did that in the S-Rank arc, didn't he?
He did, and Gildarts did it too, don't forget.
Oh, yeah, he did.
Yeah, so if Mashima does that again, that would be kind of cheap, but I have to imagine someone has to come and save her. Though, if she fights her own battle and is able to win it, that would be nice. But, I don't know, I could see Laxus showing up again. Just because, you know, they're kind of, you know, they were injured, so they weren't on their own. Oh, no, wait. No, they were with the rest of the guild when they were brought on this, so they're probably also absorbed. Never mind. Though, I guess Guildarts is the only one. I don't think that anyone from any other guilds will be showing up. That would be kind of silly. Just because this is definitely a Fairy Tail-centric chapter. And I don't think that, Flare is the other one that I could think might show up, but it's not been long enough since she was gone, so her showing up now would just be not be the oh cool she's back moment that Mashima would want to go for.
What are we missing that we? Did you mention Jalong?
Oh yeah, well he's busy at the moment. I guess he could show up, but I don't know. I don't think so. I mean, yeah, actually, he's probably the best bet, even though he's busy, just because he's actually involved in the story. But maybe he'll show up and bring the Orison Sace with him. So, but yeah. All right. It's time to move on to Seven Deadly Sins, chapter 75. And, I really should have read these beforehand. But, Yeah, so it's basically the fight's over, and King manages to, reveals like, aha, I know that the princes were kidnapped because they're trying to revive the Demon Clan. You shouldn't do that.
Oh, yeah.
And then you've got Dreyfus and, no, Hendrickson. That's it, yeah. Hendrickson and, and Arthur are fighting, and, it seems to be fairly even, although I really like Arthur's. Well, it doesn't specifically say it's Excalibur, but I don't know. It does. It's oh, actually, I think it is Excalibur because, if you recall, in one of the previous chapters, is it had shown him having pulled out the sword, and that sword was a lot larger than this one. So either this is a no-name sword or it's Excalibur. Either way, it's a proper freaking long sword, and I love it.
Is it Caliburn or Excalibur?
Excalibur.
Are they the same? No, they're both different. Because if I recall, Excalibur is the sword that he supposedly gets from the Lady of the Lake.
Yeah, and that's the one with the
And
sheath.
Caliburn is supposedly the sword he draws out from the stone.
It's not Caliburn.
Okay.
Because if you remember, which I only barely did because I looked back over some previous chapters, when you
Good
see
job.
him actually drawing the sword from the stone, that one was much bigger than this one, like much broader.
Okay.
And so, yeah, this one definitely not the one from the stone. So most likely Excalibur, if that's the route we're going with it. And honestly, it looks like just a regular plain long sword, and it's actually a proper length and a proper width for one. That's almost unheard of in manga that a long sword would be that long and not 5 feet wide. Except the only thing that bugs me about it is the little weird notches at the end. But, other than that, I can live with that. And the fighting is really nicely rendered, drawn on the page. I just really like the fight, the way Arthur fights. And even though he's, clearly very powerful, it's very clear that Hendrickson is kind of ends up having the upper hand because he has stronger magic. But the magic ends up being returned to him, and he's like, "How did you return the attack on me?" And then turns out, oh hey, it's the guy whose ability is to return the attack on you. He's like, "Hey, Meliodas." And yeah, it's so weird. Every time I look at him, I still keep thinking, "Is like, you know, it'd be nice if you weren't didn't look like a kid." But ever since deciding, you know what, he's not a kid; he's a dwarf. He's Tyrion, basically, a better looking Tyrion.
Because it's manga.
Yeah.
Sorry, Tyrion.
I don't know.
But just better looking, I guess.
Well, yeah, but I mean the thing is that the thing with the thing with him, me thinking of him as a dwarf, the reason it doesn't work is because I don't think anyone ever actually calls him a dwarf. They more say, "Why do you look like a kid?" So I don't think that's really the case. But yeah. So anyway, it's time for the next chapter. Chapter 76, The Princess's Feelings.
That's a lot of synthesis.
Yes. And I have to say that the older sister is the hottest. As usual. Although, is Elizabeth the middle daughter or the younger daughter? She's taller than her now dead sister.
I don't know, but I think she's the youngest.
Yeah, I thought her now, whatever, whichever one it was, the one with the short hair.
Veronica,
Veronica,
man.
yeah, I'd gotten the
Well, she's dead.
yeah, I'd gotten the impression that she was that she was older than Elizabeth, but in this on this co cover, she's shorter, so I
Well,
guess I don't know. I mean, it's not.
sometimes siblings can be,
Well, yeah, sometimes the younger one can be taller. I mean, I know that. But usually with manga, it's usually portrayed as height equals age. Hence, the older sister is the tallest. So.
So in terms of One Piece, holy crap.
Well, somewhat, yes, that's actually fair. I mean,
Bear just stands tall, even was like, holy crap, how old is this guy?
yeah, I mean, that would make sense. I mean, think about it. You've got
True.
Chopper is younger than Luffy. Luffy is younger than Zoro and Sanji. Zoro and Sanji are younger than Robin. She's taller. I think she's taller than both of them, or at least taller than Sanji. Frankie is older than Robin. Brook is older than Frankie. Whitebeard is older than all of them. Doflamingo is older than, Luffy's crew. So,
Actually, Frankie's a little bit older than Brook. Brook may have died at the age of 33, and if he had lived, he would have been 80, what, three? But
That
oh,
still counts.
okay,
But
fine.
anyway, nonetheless, as I was saying, as it is always in manga that features three sisters, the oldest one is the hottest.
Okay. Well,
It's just an it's just you know it's just I mean just going off of the co off of the cover, it's just inevitable. It's the one trope that nobody can go against.
they're the one that's been raised to be the best, and then the rest of us have to follow up.
Yeah, the rest are just like, oh, whatever. It's a hard enough time getting your older sister in line.
Yeah.
So we got Meliodas and Arthur versus Hendrickson. And again, we get some more cool sword play with the stabbing and the slashing and so on. And also, Mo, you'll appreciate this. Meliodas uses his scabbard as a weapon.
Yes, I know that.
Sometimes scabbards were made of solid material like wood. Sometimes they were just made of leather. It kind of depended on the maker and the time period and all that. But yeah, we
They can't
also.
be shields still.
Yeah, and yeah, so we've got Elizabeth and Margaret that are talking in the prison, and then the woman in the weird helmet shows up and is like, oh yeah, Margaret is here of her own free will, and then Hawk turns out to be a little bit of a badass and actually attacks her, but then she sends him away to he doesn't know where.
Yeah, we don't know where either.
And they do kind of an interesting thing with the woman telling Margaret, hey, if you want to leave, you can leave. I'm not going to stop you. But yeah, and then we let's see what else. And then the woman sends Gil Thunder to his father's aid, which that is right. Yeah, Gil Thunder is Hendrickson's son. Yes. And then what's his face, the one that was with Veronica, was Dreyfus's son. That's right. Yes. Keeping track of this. What?
Okay. Grimoire is Dreyfus's son, but Gil Thunder's father was the previous captain who died.
Oh, right. Son of a bitch.
Hendrickson is
That's right, I
just,
forgot. Oh, wait,
I
really?
guess, their friend or something that kind of decided to go, hey, we just
Oh, that's
kill this
right,
guy
yeah.
and we'll just cause a war to make sure that the Holy Knights will always stay in service. I'm like, yeah, that's actually
That's right, I can.
dastardly idea, but actually clever, because at least you'll get to keep your jobs.
That's right, that's what I. I completely. It's hard to keep track of
Because
these
when
when
you
they
said
don't
that, I was like,
specifically mention it.
yeah, when you said that, I was like, wait, Henderson the son? What the hell? Did you have, like, no, that's not right.
I forgot about the previous Chief Holy Knight. I got the current Chief Holy Knight and the previous Chief Holy Knight confused and everything. So, anyway, yeah. So they're there.
It's in the Chief Holy Knight at all, just like you know that.
Well, yeah, but yeah, I still got them confused.
He's the ringleader, but he's not the Chief Holy Knight.
Yeah. Again, I got them confused.
Okay, I'm
But
just
yeah,
pointing out.
I know. But nonetheless, yeah. And then let's see, we end the kind of end the chapter with them all facing off with Arthur and Meliodas. And there's that one part where where Arthur's sword is drawn a little strangely, in that the hilt and the the hilt and the cross guard look kind of a little too small compared to the way they were drawn before. But yeah, the two team up, and I'm like, oh, this is such fan fiction. The main character is teaming up with King Arthur. So,
That's fan fiction I would write to be honest. I mean,
yeah.
I have to admit, I kind of like the idea of Meliodas actually using his scabbard, because first of all, his dagger or sword, whatever, is pretty small, so it kind of helps out
Yeah.
in like a dual dagger wielding situation. Except one is just, I'm gonna call it a dagger because it's pretty short to be
Yeah,
used.
well, no, it's a short sword.
Okay, short
it's kind
sword.
Of it's kind of like a Hobbit short sword situation where a short sword is this proper size is the proper size for him. So
he's a Hobbit then.
It, probably.
We can call him a Hobbit. I mean, Tolkien's passed away. We're not gonna get sued.
by the Tolkien estate.
Oh yeah, I forgot about them. Well, they're in UK, so we're fine.
Yeah, because that totally makes a difference. Anyway. It was a good set of chapters. I really like these. You know, it's we're kind of slowly moving towards the, oh, hey, this is our ultimate final goal. So I'm wondering, huh, I wonder how it's going to, you know, what's going to happen to keep them from accomplishing their final goal or how we're going to continue this story after this, you know?
Oh, wait, where's Bond?
Oh, yeah, where did he go? I think he's probably going after Elizabeth. I think, wasn't okay. That his job?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was. And... yeah, so, all right, let's move on. Last chapter to talk about this week.
Oh, boy.
Attack on Titan, chapter 57, Kenny the Ripper. So, the Kenny the Ripper guy, that was the guy that said his name was... No, wait, no, that's not... Him and the guy that are... whose last name is Ackerman, they're not the same person, are they?
They are the same person.
They are? Okay, yeah, so...
As he points out at the very end of the chapter, I'm like, oh my god, it's that guy.
Right, yeah, I wasn't sure because just the way the art was, but... Yeah, I think the thing here is that so...
It's been a time since he's killed Reed, that's why. From the chapter, between the two chapters, that's why.
Right, yeah, that too. But yeah, we do have, Levi, we find, is not actually a traitor. It's just that the guy wasn't saying, I taught him everything he knew, and the thing that I taught him was to be a traitor and to help me out. No, it's more, no, I just know how he thinks. And so the way Levi describes it makes it sound like, oh, hey, yeah, I used to live with this guy, so it doesn't sound like they're necessarily related.
Yeah.
Although, I guess, though, might be an adoptive situation. Either way, in a roundabout way, it seems like I'm still... sticking with the, they're probably related to Mikasa.
Yeah. Kenny.
Yeah, and also we discover that, Titans can gain abilities by eating people with abilities. Like, say, for example, if a Titan eats someone that is able to turn into a Titan, that Titan gains the ability to turn back into a human. And
it sounds
like
something I've heard of. What was it?
Yeah. And also, yeah. And also, they discover that if, you know, Eren is, you know, if a Titan eats Eren, they would then gain the ability to turn back into a human and the ability to control Titans. So that's what the king wants to do. Is he probably at first the way Hangi says it is? Oh, he plans to eat Eren, but then I was like, wait, he's actually going to eat Eren himself. But then she says he's probably going to have a Titan eat him and then control that person. I'm like, oh, well, okay, that makes sense. But
you thought the king was going to eat Eren at first when you read? I know I thought
that's what it looked like, but yeah, and then we have Commander Irwin. Gets taken in because he's being blamed for the death of what's his face?
Reeves,
that's it. Yeah. And then we see Hangi kind of tries to get Reeves' son to tell her what, you know, to come out and say, hey, it was actually the first squad that did this. And then we have a lot of the trainees or the former trainees that are kind of, you know, starting to think is like, hey, we're kind of the bad guys here. This isn't why I joined. What's going on here?
Jan is like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Indeed. And then Levi and his group get attacked by Kenny the Ripper and the other anti-personnel squad from the first division. And it turns out that they use 3D maneuver gear, which is cool. But since they are anti-personnel, they have guns. And not just, you know, not rifles, but they have handguns, which up to this point we had not yet seen.
Oh boy, here we go, another rant.
Yeah, why would there be a rant?
This year, like, we have not seen these guns. I'm
well,
like,
no. Do keep in mind that even though to this point we've only seen rifles,
okay,
we haven't seen pistols. Do keep in mind that during a couple chapters back, when they were torturing the dude from the first, from the military police, and he was talking about how, you know, it was their job to, you know, keep people in line. They mentioned, like, you know, a couple of situations where they've gone after people. For example, some prostitute that has had the daughter of one of the secret king. Young couple that are trying to leave in a hot air balloon, a gunsmith.
Oh yeah, they saw them. Yeah, they saw them or something.
Yeah, they show this guy that's tinkering with guns and working on making better guns. So at first I was thinking, oh, they're gonna have like revolvers because they killed the guy that was making them, but then took them for themselves. Which I would have thought that'd be even more badass instead of these 3D maneuver gear swordsmen, it's these 3D maneuver gear gunslingers. But then you actually get to see the actual guns, and I'm like, wait, what? How does this make sense? You know? Because it's basically I'm not even sure how these work. The guns don't have barrels. Like, they're designed because, you know, the hip trigger needs to also control the 3D maneuver gear. So they're like, you know, connected to the gear and everything, but at the same time, rather than just being a regular gun and having a regular barrel, they have these disposable barrels, kind of the way they have disposable blades. And I guess the one barrel has one charge in it or something. Or, you know, I'm not sure actually, because Wait, this doesn't make any sense. One sec. I need to take a closer look at the pictures here. Wait, where's that coming from? Because they use the gun to shoot a grappling hook rather than shooting from the hip. Except I'm not sure. Wait, where is... Okay, that's coming from... Because, you know, I'm pretty sure... Okay, they actually do use the gun to blow people's heads off. Yes, that happens. Where does the grappling hook come from? Okay, right, that thing at the bottom. Okay, I gotcha, that makes sense. So it's the thing, these gears are put together is the wires, the grappling hooks are shot from these parts at the bottom of the gun, and then they kind of control them with their arms. So they're not the hands-free type that you shoot from the hip. Instead of it, the gear being on the hip, it's on the back. And that's where everything, and it goes through the arms, and so they're a lot more restrained in there. Which does still work, because, you know, if you're using your gear to maneuver towards someone, and, you know, your arm is already pointed at them, so if you need to shoot them, you can shoot them. Except, I guess, with here, they kind of I don't know, it's kind of interesting to see that they have a completely different set of gears rather than, you know, strictly work shooting from the hip. So, yeah, I think that's interesting. Although I'm still not sure why they have these, instead of having proper guns, they have these big disposable barrels, you know? So, yeah. Still, it was a good chapter, mostly because we learned quite a bit. And then right at the end, we got a nice little reveal. I don't know, yeah. We got this nice little reveal of, hey, look at us, we're gunslingers with grappling hooks. That's awesome. I like that ending, and also you're typing very loud.
I was not typing.
You were typing.
I was not, that was just a cover hook.
That was still very loud, but nonetheless.
I was in a very loud cockroach, the one I killed it, with my mind.
Just talk about the damn chapter.
Okay, so one person dies in this chapter. I was like, they got shot in the face. I was like, holy crap, that was fast. That person, I think it was Nifa. Yeah, it was Nifa.
Yeah, oh, dude, I don't know.
They just introduced, like, what, two or three chapters ago. Like, whatever.
Yeah, it's not, they're they were just there to, you know, be dead now.
Be like, I'm here to help, Dad.
Oh, why did you do that?
Why could I have been killed by a titan? No, wait. That's better than not be killed by a titan. Good point.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but remember when this series was about titans?
Yeah, I know.
At least we finally have a worthy substitute.
Like, don't worry, I'll just shoot people in the face. That's close enough, I guess.
Yeah, that works. Works for me. But yeah, I like this chapter. And
yeah, there's a lot of content in this.
And also, it ended, and also what was nice is that it didn't end in a way that made me say, oh, I want the next chapter now. You know, I can wait the month.
I can always wait.
Well, I know, but some months are harder than others.
Oh, yeah, some all good summer.
Yeah. But anyway, that was that. And I think that wraps up all of the manga talk. So,
wow. Whew,
finally. There we go. That was a lot, but we were able to get through everything. So, all right then. Let us go ahead and... All right, let's go ahead and wrap things up. This has been Manga Cubed, episode 96 for the week of May 12th, 2014. This week we went over One Piece volumes 28 through 30, Nisekoi volume 3, and Ranma 1/2 volumes 3 and 4. We also talked about this week's chapters, of course, as you have just finished hearing us do so. And yeah, it's been a good week, pretty good week for manga. Let's go ahead and do the author comments.
Okay.
All right, we start with One Piece's Eiichiro Oda. As an adult, I should want to use an expensive pen, but the 400 yen ones are the easiest to use.
As long as they don't get ink on your hands. I was using one of my favorite pens, a Pilot, made in Japan pen, and I was like, hey, that's where that pen was. And I started using it yesterday, and I was like, oh, man, I got ink in my hands. Like, trying to wash it. Like, oh, it won't get off easily. Why? It wrote really well. It was a ballpoint. I wonder if that's what he uses. Anyways, Naruto's Musashi Kishimoto. I accidentally called the editorial department instead of the restaurant. I even gave my name. So embarrassing.
It was like, hi, I'd like to order some ramen. It's like, Mr. Kishimoto, this is the third time this week. Like, oh, sorry. Okay, Bleach's Tite Kubo. Lately I've been catching a cold every other week. Please save me, Manuka honey. He does, I'm kind of impressed he manages to keep going despite having a cold.
Dang.
Yeah, I'd be like, I'm taking the week off.
His next series should be about a guy that gets sick all the time and deals with it. Unless he does a sinister spread, I was kind of like that.
Yeah, sure, that's a good idea.
Yeah, well. World Trigger's Daisuke Ashihara. The collaboration project in the last issue in Japan was so fun. The design of Kaido from Saiki Kuso no Sainan is awesome. Coming up with a rebellious adolescent Chunibyo dialogue was difficult. What the hell is a Chunibyo?
Oh. Alright, Stealth Symphonies, Yoichi Amano. I've been waiting to graduate from my old cell phone for a while, but the problem is I'm not finding any problems with my current one.
Anyways. Torigo, right? Torigo. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Torigo's Mitsutoshi Shimabukuro. Oh yeah, about the cell phone. Yeah, I need a new cell phone too. Anyways, Toriko's Mitsutoshi Shimabukuro. I haven't run at all since the Tokyo Marathon. It's getting warm now, so I should start jogging again. Do so.
Yes.
Hot over here.
Yeah. Alright, Nisekoi's No Shikomi. A fan created and sent me a keychain that appeared in the manga last month. Amazing.
Wait, the keychain. Is it the one that was Yui's?
I think so. Probably. You know, I'm not. That's the only one I can think of.
Yeah.
But yeah. All right, carry on.
Okay. Luxus Kazui Kato. For the poster in this issue in Japan, I tried to draw something that a girl would put up in her room. Enjoy! Yeah. We can't see it, even though we're guys, but it's okay.
We're not allowed to see it. Oh, well.
Allowed to see it because we're not in Japan.
Alright, let's see. Let us talk about See, let me check one other thing. Let's see, next issue. Alright, no special announcements. Alright, let's go ahead and talk about the rankings.
Oh yeah, rankings.
Yes.
I totally remember that.
Alright, let's just say that Naruto this week is at -500 and Bleach is at -250. For the rankings for this week, this is going to be a tough one.
But you already eliminated two. I don't think it'd be tough at all.
Well, I don't know about the other ones. I've got quite a few that are worth... Let's see. What's your number four?
Crap, you are right. This is tough.
Yes.
Okay, I would say Stealth Symphony. Yeah, Stealth Symphony.
Eh.
Yeah.
Eh. I don't know. It was a little odd with the design. I don't know. The excessive fan service was weird, but...
Well, the excessive fan... Oh,
yeah. The end. Yeah, the end. I can see that.
Definitely. Yeah, the end.
Yeah, I'll have to say my number four is... I'm going to say... World Trigger.
Okay.
Yeah, it was just a nice fight. I like nice fights. All right, number three.
Number three is Toriko.
Yes, that's my number three too. I mean, it may have something to do with the fact that I'm hungry right now. It's almost lunchtime for me. Actually, it is lunchtime. Hurry up. No, but...
freaking soiling me. I was like, wait, did I actually eat it? I think they ate it. Mm-hmm. It's like, I'll eat anything now.
Yeah.
Well,
that's straying a bit close to cannibalism, but what the hey.
It's okay. Solid Green is people.
Yes, yes it is.
Where did it come from anyway?
But do keep in mind that they had those apples that had faces. So.
Oh, right.
Mm-hmm. All right, number two.
Nisekoi.
Son of a... Yes, Nisekoi, that's my number two as well.
Yeah, because...
It was funny.
Yui.
Yeah, Yui is a lot of fun, and the chapter was just funny. So, all right, and of course, number one is...
One Piece.
I'll kill you.
One Piece.
Yes,
because
good.
Because Usopp's freaking revelation is like, oh crap, I'm going to die.
Yeah, Usopp's face really did make that chapter for me.
So we were like, whoever catches this man who has ruined me will be paid... 500 million berries. Like, go to the Usopp. And he's like...
Yeah, he's just like, get me out of here. It was... Yes, indeed. Yeah. Yeah, it was pretty hilarious. And that is kind of why I like it. Also, just the rest of the chapter was totally worth it. It was just very funny and very action-packed and entertaining. So.
I also like Stealth Symphony, but it was number five for me.
Yeah.
I missed out for the end. What the?
Yeah. I know, right? Hard to keep on. Anyway. Yeah, so that is it then. I don't have anything else to say. Got no comments for this week. So let's go ahead and just say goodbye until next week. So always remember, the manga is always better.
Yep.
See you all next week.